This is a jalapeno.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have three lights.
Yay!
Last time on Dungeons and Dragons, somewhere, sometime, you guys found yourselves in a forest, having just gone through the center of the Blight. Been introduced to a talking otter named Gary. Gary had some very advanced magical things, like a flying carpet and a pocket of holding, which apparently was also a pocket of charming plus two, because y'all were pretty enthralled by it.
I was enthralled with all of Gary, but particularly his pocket.
And so you very quickly realized that not only had you you'd gone back in time, and that you'd you're in the ancient Telavian Empire, where apparently there are talking anthropomorphic animals, which is not a thing that you normally see in the real world. So Gary led you to his hometown of Tarrowfell, where you met another colorful cast of characters, including another Gary, a gerbil named Gary, Bruno the Bear Sheriff, who had a bag of bear claw donuts, but also threatened to give you the bear claw if you didn't behave in his city. And much to Altair's delight, she found out that magical items could be forged in this time. And she decided that she's never going to leave this time. That no matter what your mission happens with your mission, she's going to be here forever.
Yeah. Altair will go on, but Caitlin will roll a new character. Is exactly what's going to happen.
Well, that's the advantage of our new campaign structure. So, you realize that you found out about an oracle to the one god. The fellow folks here have never heard of Lilith, the god that you worship. Apparently though this one god has an oracle, and everybody in the world is allowed to go and ask a question of the oracle. It's part of a very weird dogmatic tradition. And so you decide to head to the oracle. So, you guys head down to, a town called Ataveria, where you spend a couple days. Altair spends some time in a magical workshop learning about everything she can about magical forging. Mm-hmm. Punchy goes off to a orc bar
and the badger.
Gets in some fights and has some sex, maybe. It's a little fuzzy on what happened. However, this did make Shadow Moss a little sad. A little petty.
A little salty.
Meanwhile, everyone else investigated the town, and Frigg had to deal with the fact that her god, apparently, is just not here.
But didn't she have, like, a fantastic fucking day in the gambling house?
Oh, yeah.
No, I had a bad day and then a mediocre day.
Oh, right. You went to one gambling hall, then another.
Fancy place you hated, and then the casual place.
Oh. Was just my... No, that was my...
We also found out that Noman was a little jealous of Cal. Just a bit.
No.
It's entirely justified.
And then you guys found transportation from Ataveria to the Oracle. A magical transportation device, a box that's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, and which floats through the air. As you were traveling to the Oracle, you passed by a huge tower, that's apparently the capital of the Telvian Empire, and you headed further into the mountains, and when we ended the session, the magical transportation box had just landed, and, you found out that you've arrived at the Oracle. And that's where we'll start the session.
So I assume we're on, like, a train platform, basically.
Yeah, you guys are stepping out of your magical box onto what's essentially a train platform.
Are there windows?
In the magical box? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Wherever we're at, what does it look like outside?
So when you arrive, you see a very crowded platform. People trying to waiting for other boxes and leaving other boxes. So there's two streams of people coming in, people going out. Of this large, grandiose, almost cathedral-esque transportation station.
What time of day is it?
It is, let's see, you guys... It's probably a little after midday.
Okay. Do we want to get lunch or search the Oracle?
How far away, like how built up is this area?
You kind of got a glimpse of it. You get the idea that, it's not as big as like the Ataveria, which was that city you went to, but, it's pretty large by modern standards. So like, bigger than New Haven, but probably smaller than like Crescent. Probably about Lorencar size, if you know what that is. So kind of, maybe like 1,000 people.
I feel that after 2 days of being in a box without plants, Shadow Moss will run over to the nearest shrubbery and just try to hug it.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they tell us it was going to be like a long line?
Yeah.
I'm worried about
it.
I think we should probably just get in line.
Yeah.
If people want to go get food and then
maybe get spots in the line, yeah. Get street meats or something like that.
Yeah. We got to find and figure out where the line is. Are there any like signs?
Oh yeah.
Or well, this way.
Oh yeah.
What kind is that?
Raspberry filled like cake with vanilla buttercream and raspberry drizzle. It's delicious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're very good.
There's one for everyone here.
It's also a box of donuts.
Oh.
Which are good, but not.
Yeah. Yeah. They were discounted.
Yes, actually, so once you leave this kind of huge, it's built bigger than it needs to be, like it's, very tall, but it's just, most of the sides of it just appears to be aesthetic versus functional. And as you run up and hug a potted shrubbery, and you guys head outside into the bright light, immediately before you is a large kind of mountain peak, and you can see from where you're standing that there's like a path that goes up it to the ascent of it. You can actually see kind of a ornate building on the top of it. And you see the line snaking all the way down the mountain and starting in the town.
Okay. That's gonna suck.
That is our session today. We wait in the line.
I've got some exciting line antics waiting to prepare for you guys.
I feel like we should be allowed to cut.
No, it's a real-time experience.
I feel like the country's negotiation skills should come into play.
Like, we could go to the front and be like, she's expecting us.
I mean, what do the people look like in the line? Like, they're all different kind of, like, mm-hmm. animal folk?
There's actually not very many animal folk here. It's okay. mostly humans and... humans and elves and dwarves and orcs and you can see some goblins, some bird people, some cat people, like Aarakocra and Leonin. Then yeah, the occasional like you see like a couple otter folk, Platypuskin.
How far do you think we could cut in the line without having an issue? Like, what are the size? Like, where's the next orc? Can we get in like? A quarter of the line.
We're
like,
six people and a dog.
Yeah.
That's gonna be rough.
Well, but you've got me. What if we make ourselves smell really bad?
No.
Get in line.
Absolutely not.
Well, you don't have to, but the rest of us could smell really,
really
bad.
Why are we trying to trick our way into this? Why don't we just wait our turn like everybody else?
Right? I mean...
We're not trying to trick. We're just trying to see what our options are. We might as well use our assets.
We have a mission.
Actually, Shadow Moss, you do have a point, because we got all the time in the world. We're not late for anything. We're way early. You want to go grab a plant and get in line?
I mean, I'm just going to stand in line.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm really good at negotiating.
We had her.
Yeah, you were really good with negotiating with those orcs the other night.
Yeah, it was. This
is going to be a long line.
This line business has been going along for centuries.
Altair gets in line and starts reading one of her books because she has several.
Well, so it's going to be, you have to go through like, it's like Gatlinburg. You have to go through like the strip of Rubeville to get to the line.
Okay.
So as you walk down the street, you see people like hawking, like, you very quickly get the idea that this entire village, it's industry, it's mm-hmm. tourism, mm-hmm. people visiting the Oracle. So you've got people.
How many fudge shops are there?
Hold on. There are 12 fudge shops.
Oh my.
There must be fixers and whatnot who will promise you that they'll cut you in the line, surely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So as you walk down the street, there's people yelling at you. Oddly, you can understand everything, despite the fact that you get the idea, like, these people probably aren't speaking the same language as you, but for some reason you can understand them. But yeah, you hear people hawking, get your meats here, get your meats, lots of meats here. And somebody else says, get your holy relics, get your holy symbols here. And you see restaurants and inns, lots of people promising fortune telling services. People saying if you didn't like your answer or answer interpretation, if your answer was too vague, things like that. Pretty much anything to get gold pieces out of wallets, they have it.
Do they have a copper stamping machine with a little likeness? Oh, and then it flattens it.
The little mountain vista. You actually have your four choices of four. You have the mountain vista. You have a picture of the building. You get a picture of the town. You have a picture of a bear for some reason.
Shot glasses.
Souvenir like tankards. Things like that.
Do they have the hat with the cuffs in it?
No. There's a line.
Wasting away in Margaritaville, but with the name of whatever town it is.
There's also things like tailors and armorers and weapon shops and magic shops.
Oh.
Well, I don't have any money, so
I
think
we're all poor.
Pass it all. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to grab some street meat.
I have 92 copper, so I just keep walking straight to the line.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you walk through this mess. You pick up some street meat. Go ahead and just take a couple copper pieces off of your sheet.
Same here, I think.
All right.
A couple of copper pieces. I have 6 copper pieces. Okay.
The air here, by the way, you are kind of up elevated, so it's a little chilly and the air is a little thin. It's not bad enough that, you'll take any penalties, but your characters are a little... maybe chilly or uncomfortably cold, if you don't have any winter clothes in your outfits.
I assume not, so I probably want to get a coat before I get in line.
Mm-hmm. All right, so 5 silver pieces for a touristy winter coat.
You're also a dwarf. You'd have the constitution to not be bothered by it.
It's up to you.
I'm going to be comfortable if I'm going to stay on this line and be ignored by the person trying to help.
Do we see any gambling in the area? Good to know.
Are you keeping an eye out for shady signs of people who can get us through quicker?
No, that would be a scam. There's no way that would actually work.
You do see several people, though, offering line management services.
I mean, unless there's something for, handicapped people, we could put on a limp and get to the front.
So what they do, how these scams work is they actually pay people to wait in line, and then you go take their spot. So
that's not a scam at all.
That's a legitimate business.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
That's assuming really have someone
help. Well, lobbyists do that in the real world.
And so you know, the more you pay, the closer you get to the front of the line based on. Based on where these people are.
Do we know how long it takes to get to the top? Ask around, I suppose.
When you ask around, you get the idea that it'll take several days.
Nice.
So there are way stops in between and...
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's
restaurants.
There's little merchant booths all the way up the mountain. Places to use the restroom, places to purchase food.
So do we camp or is there some way to save your spot?
So overnight, so the Oracle has hours, and so overnight people just kind of camp in their spots.
Okay. Do we have camping
gear? Yeah, you all have bedrolls and things like that. You're all adventurers who wander around the world. Murder hobos, I think, is people who don't have permanent places of residence and wander around and kill people.
Uh-huh. So Shadow Moss is still a little grumpy, in case you hadn't noticed. So she is going to attempt to pointedly talk to the people in front of the line, and act like she's going to try to become their new best friend, trying to make Punchy jealous some other way. Which will also go ignored, I'm pretty sure.
Out of character. I'm offended you don't try to make better friends with anybody else in the group.
Well, I already know what Punchy thinks of you guys, and you're not a threat.
Fair point. Carry on.
All right, so in front of you are a couple. Their names are Glenna and Sabra. They're both elves. And they're here to ask some questions about their family.
Ooh. Are you concerned about your family?
They say, well, we're hoping to be blessed with a child.
I love babies.
She says, but our efforts so far have been fruitless.
But oh. Fun, yeah.
Well, what have you tried so far? Did you try the one herb that grows in the down south that if you rub it on your vajayjay, then like, I don't know, there's something to do with like acorns. Who have you talked to?
She says, are you some sort of naturalist or something?
Well, I'm a druid.
Oh. She says, we've been mainly using magical items to switch genders and, you know, I take a go, she takes a go, I take a go.
Well, if you're switching gender back and forth, how do you know that you haven't gotten pregnant and then you switch to being a dude?
Well,
then...
we wait before we switch. Okay. We're not, this isn't our first rodeo.
Oh, how old are you? You don't look that old.
Oh, she says, I'm 334.
You don't look a day over 200.
Oh, that's flattering of you to say. Who are your friends here?
I'm Craig.
I'm no one.
No one?
Noman.
Noman. It's an interesting name. Y'all are an interesting lot, she says. You are dressed very, if you don't mind me saying, very peculiarly.
Yeah, we get that.
By the way, everyone around here, the way they dress is it's sort of like almost a combination of Roman and Egyptian. There's like togas and like wigs and like kind of skirts.
Everything. Can elves live to be over 1,000 years old?
Mm-hmm.
I'm only 40. Well.
So, if you manage to have a child, your grandchild might be alive. Okay, never mind.
Great-grandchild might be alive.
Great-grandchild.
Great-grandchild.
Maybe.
She seems confused by this.
We're from way, way, way far south.
But
In time.
She said, they just kind of don't process it and let it go. She says, so where are you here from?
Way, way, way south. Burr, it's cold.
A magical land called Krailson.
Never heard of that place.
It's magical. Oh. And a land.
Yeah.
She says, what isn't though, right?
And in the future. The future is also a nice land that we visit sometimes. All one word, the future, it sometimes is pronounced a bit oddly and it's a different place.
I'm so confused.
You're not alone, my orcish friend.
Hey, she's my orcish friend. Just saying.
Oh, are you two together?
She used to be. Let the record show there was a meaningful look shared between Shadow Moss and
I mean,
Punchy.
We're just friends.
Oh.
We're friends. We're not, like, together. We're friends.
So friends are great, too. So, well, it'll be an interesting few days getting to know you.
Yeah, so you've got to have heard some tips on, like, how to make this go faster, right?
Just, well, I mean, you always buy your way to the front of the line.
What does that run, generally?
She says, well, if you want to cut your weight down just a few hours, she says, it's like 50 gold pieces a person.
That's way more reasonable than I expected it to be.
It's still out of my budget.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's totally out of our budget.
All
but
broke.
50 gold.
Speak for yourself.
Broke-ish.
She says, with us trying to plan a family though, we're just gonna opt to wait and save the money.
So what do people usually do to fill time? I mean, I know what you're gonna be doing. But everybody else, what do they do while they wait around?
Some of them read books. She says there's traveling bards that come up and down the line and entertain people for tips. So some of them just wait in silence. You know, it depends on the person.
Is there anybody behind us by us at this point?
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's actually like maybe 100 people behind you at this point.
Have we moved at all in the
last shuffled up a couple.
Okay. This seems like a really good time to maybe share the word of Lilith. We have a whole new crowd of eager converts, perhaps.
Don't get yourself burned at the stake for heresy.
And she goes back to reading her book.
The more people that believe, the more powerful our paladin will be.
Unless she gets burned at the stake.
You don't know that?
You don't know that. It's not a thing that you know. You're not religious. You don't know that.
I believe in the one God on the top.
You want to
see my symbol?
Play some cards and see just how strong my faith is?
Sure.
All right. Let's play. We're going to play cards.
Let's try to get the new elves to play, too.
They're starting a family. They need their money.
Don't How about the people behind us? Are they more rubish?
Yes.
Perfect.
Tell us about the people behind us.
Behind you, you see kind of a large woman, like tall and broad. She's got a huge warhammer strapped to her back and like a light crossbow at her side. She's wearing, it's kind of a scale armor. It's a golden and has like one pauldron on the side of it.
So she's got money.
She's kind of got, kind of like a darker skin, kind of brownish with like long, curly black hair that's kind of tied up in a bunch.
Hey neighbor, we're gonna play some cards. You wanna join us while we wait?
She says, she looks at the lot of you. Yeah, sure.
Cool. I'm Frigg.
She says, I'm, Berg.
Berg.
Short for Borgia, but, you know,
Oh yeah, but I'm sure for Frigg Melina.
Yeah, right. What are our parents thinking?
Hey, what are they gonna think?
Okay. They're gonna think, oh my gosh, we should name our kid after our great 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 ancestress Frigmalia, and then you're gonna be your own queen.
And my name will be different. Why? Because it's not Frigmalia.
Well, she just pronounced it
wrong. I don't remember this stuff.
All right, so you play cards. Roll me a, both of you roll me an intelligence card playing. I think you have a...
I got some kind of bonus.
Yeah.
One. Not a natural one. A two minus one.
Nice. So they love playing cards with you.
And it just says advantage when gambling, so I just roll it twice.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, because I have no intelligence bonus. Oh, I hope the next one's better than that. Okay, 18.
Much better.
All right, Jason, you lose. How much 20 do you have?
Total 38 gold, unless we're playing for silvers or coppers.
I would say coppers because it's got to be. We got to exist in this line.
All right, so Jason, you lose a silver piece's worth of copper. And you gain, two silver pieces. So you guys play cards for a while. Some traveling food vendors come by, offering meat on sticks, kind of granola, kind of packed into little balls. There's somebody, some of bards come along and sing you some songs, and then offer their hands out for, or they have little hats that they stick out for tips.
I think I'll buy one of those.
Hey, Punchy, maybe you should try your whistle sometime.
I should. I'm certainly not paying them for their music.
Do you pull out your tin whistle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
What is it that Altair
does? This might help us cut through the line. You're just reading.
No, whenever I join, I usually join Punchy. Don't I? I like her music. Pretty sure. I don't remember what I do.
Do I get anything?
So he says, I'll give you a gold piece if you stop playing that.
How about two?
That's roll, my punchy.
Roll me an intimidation check.
12 plus 3, 15.
They hand you two gold pieces.
Nice doing business with you, sir.
Yeah. Pleasure.
See, I told you I was good.
All right. After a while, as the sun starts to set, people start, you see kind of a line just all, like, just looks like a domino effect. People just start sitting down. And you realize that the Oracle is closed for the day. People sit down, they pull out their bedrolls, you see some fires get started up. There's little fire pits that kind of go up along the path. And it seems like the line has stopped for the day.
Hey, Punchy. Yeah. What do you think?
Don't actually whisper. I can't hear you.
Stage whisper.
What do you think would happen if we just snuck past all these people and were waiting for the Oracle in her cave when she woke up this morning? I bet they'd be mad. Let's do it.
Can you cantrip us a light above where we're sitting?
Probably. I mean, we have a fire, don't we?
I'm gonna walk mm-hmm. ahead of the line mm-hmm. and see if there's anybody who looks like a likely gambler
mm-hmm.
and see if they would want to play.
Mm-hmm. Follow.
And maybe they'll lose their pants to me and I'll wager their spot. They can wager their spot in line.
Mm-hmm. I like this gambit. All right, so you walk up ahead a little ways.
But it's got to be a party of six.
Yeah.
I need a party of six dumb idiots with a gambling problem.
As we're walking, I'm going to continue kind of loudly talking about how bad my luck has been lately.
When it comes to
these cards, eventually it's got to turn around, right? I can't keep losing all this money.
I tell you what, if you spend your inspiration point, mm-hmm. I will make it so there is indeed a party of six dumb gambling idiots.
I'm cool with that.
I also have inspiration.
All right.
You're a terrible negotiator.
So you walk about halfway up the line.
Halfway?
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
How long am I actually walking?
It's actually, you know, if there was nobody here, it'd maybe take you a couple hours to walk up the mountain.
But I gotta walk like half an hour before I find my room.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're just about to give up hope, and you're like maybe holding on to your holy symbol, and you're just, come on. And sure enough, as if by providence, you see six people. There's like an orc, an elf, a half elf,
okay.
a gnome, and then like a couple humans.
Brass. I know, dude. Your luck's gotta turn sometime. Maybe we'll find someone who'll play with us.
Roll me a deception check.
Oh fuck. What would that be?
It's under your charisma.
Do I have charisma? Okay, I have charisma, but not specifically deception.
But you still add two to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Six.
I got a 20.
Mm-hmm.
The math one? Added up to 20.
Alright.
How do you do that?
I have plus four to deception.
No, I mean, how does he figure out? Because I'm a terrible liar, but you're a great liar.
But I'm like assisting you.
one of them says, "Hey, elf." They say, you play cards?"
Not very well, but I'm still learning and I'm getting better.
Yeah, we're okay. I mean, it's fun. You guys want to play?
Yeah, sure.
Cool. You're gonna have to remind me of the rules, though.
Okay.
Is everybody in?
Everybody's in?
Cool. All
right, so roll me a gambling check. Both of you. And, actually, Jason, I'm assuming you're probably going to lose.
Yeah.
So you can actually roll to assist her, so. Just roll your dice.
20. 20?
20?
No. Yeah. Roll a 20.
Yeah. Legit.
19.
14 plus whatever that would be. All
right, so your roll's going to give them disadvantage on their die roll.
Yeah.
Does he add anything to it?
Just your intelligence.
So 13.
All right, so you play a little while and they're losing pretty bad. This must be beginner's luck. Let's keep playing.
Yeah, this is the best I've done in a long time. All
right.
It must be the game we're playing. We could always switch games if you... I don't know.
Let's switch over to dice.
Okay, sure. All
right, so, roll again.
15.
14.
Plus, I don't have anything in intelligence. I'm just rolling with advantage.
All right, so...
You have this thing, right?
This is a saving throw.
Oh, no, you add your proficiency bonus. I'm sorry. So another plus two, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So it's proficiency and advantage?
Yeah.
Okay, 16 then.
Okay. You beat them again, and they're like, all right. Well, your luck's got to give out. One more game.
Do you have... I'm sorry, this is rude. I mean, do you have anything more to wager? I mean, we could do something silly. I mean, we could... Mm-hmm. What if we wager... I don't know, what do I have against his spot in line? Double your money or your spot in line.
Alright, but if you win our spot in line, we keep our money.
Right. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Alright. Roll.
Jake. Oh, please be better. 21.
Yeah. Nice.
14 on the die, and you say that's just intelligence? Mm-hmm. That'd be -1, but what if I use sleight of hand?
I'll give you advantage on your die roll.
Okay. That's a natural one.
With the disadvantage you granted them, they roll a 2, so.
We're a terrible team.
So, no, we won.
I know, but one of us sucks and one of us is great and we keep switching.
No, that's okay. You're always supposed to win. I'm just supposed to keep
them. I mean,
at
whatever we're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then again, maybe we're a great team because one of us is always great while the other one's not great.
Alright, so they...
Balance.
They begrudgingly pick up their stuff and they say, we'll wait here for your guys to get back. And so half of them will go with you and the other half so they can kind of...
Okay. Braxis, you want to hang out here, or do you want to be the one to go back with them?
I'll wait here.
Okay, so, let's go.
Alright, so, what are you guys doing? Gnome and Shadow Moss, Punchy and Altair. I'm assuming you're reading while you're...
Mm-hmm.
What about the three of you?
I will continue to come up with exceedingly elaborate and silly plots. So, the real problem is there's just too many people. Do you think if I changed into something scary, I could just, like, scare them all off? What do you think would be scariest?
You're not scary.
Well, I'm not scary as a gnome, but I could be scary as, like, a giant spider or something.
I suppose we could try it. I say we just go up there and hope that they're too tired to recognize that we haven't been there the whole time. Wait a minute. How much money do I have now? After tricking the rubes? Because I was winning all their gold.
Yeah, but they
said... I gave them back their money?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're about halfway closer to the front.
Mm-hmm.
Because of...
Well, you don't know that yet.
Yeah, we're right. Still waiting.
Yeah. Fair enough. So we're still scheming. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to... Shadow Moss and I are probably going to head toward the front and see what happens. But we're still trying to figure out exactly how that
goes. Okay. And then, Norman, what do you do?
I think I'll practice my way of the open hand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because, you know, you want to be.
Roll me a performance check.
Is that it?
It's under charisma, I think.
No, wait.
Mm. I only have a plus one.
Performance? Yeah,
it's under wish? No. Mm.
9 plus 1, I guess.
So 10?
10.
You draw a small crowd of people.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep performing.
Sure.
I don't know if they're aware of this or it's a new thing.
You don't have anything in performance.
Yeah,
isn't that
you still add what's there?
The underneath one.
Yeah. Yeah. He just doesn't get his proficiency.
You add this to everything here, unless there's something else that supersedes it.
Oh, okay.
You make 3 silver pieces.
Oh, cool.
For people who
don't think I've ever been paid for this. But
people who don't realize that you're not a traveling bar.
How much was that again?
3 silver pieces.
Alright.
And about the time that you're coming back over, maybe like a little out of breath, these two are just about to like sneak off. Braxis and Frigg come back down.
No,
just Frigg comes back down with 3 new people.
Hey, we're moving up in the line. These people are taking our place. Let's go.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Did you pay
to the strangers? Why are you giving us your spot? That's so nice of you.
It was a wager.
We lost it fair and square. God, you guys are really far back. This sucks.
Oh. But you'll be all pros at it by the time you get up there.
Wait. You mean you gambled your spot in lines?
Yeah, we feel really embarrassed. She's really bad at games, all right? So...
Oh, she is so bad at gambling. Oh,
it was just the weirdest luck. Like, I didn't expect that to happen. The heavens wanted it. Gosh.
All right, so those three folks hold the spot that you guys were in as the rest of you move up. You guys walk about a half hour up the hill.
I tell them in detail the story of what rooms they were. Making sure to conclude before we get up to Braxis with the rest of the group that needs to move their asses.
Braxis, as they leave, the three people staying with you are like, so, sharked us, huh?
What?
Card sharks.
I have barely played before at all. As you can see, I lost repeatedly.
Yeah, it's funny how that works.
It's not like I won.
One of them kind of has his hand on a sword.
I'm going to look very comfortable and casual and laid back and not acknowledge the threat.
Roll me deception.
That I'm good at. 15.
Tell me whenever I can see this going down.
15.
Alright, so as you guys walk up the hill, you see Braxis kind of standing there comfortably, and you see three people with their hands on their swords kind of slowly getting closer to him.
I shout out, "Oh! I get to practice Scorching Ray, right?"
Everyone in the line just kind of looks up at you.
Oh, here they come now.
Scorching what?
Really? Is there like a bush that's like independent around somewhere? It's a new spell that I haven't used yet, and I cast Scorching Ray on the bush, which is just basically three firebolts, kind of. Mm-hmm. They go boom, boom, boom. And the bush is gone.
What are you doing here? I'll use Ray of Frost on the same bush. You shouldn't destroy bushes.
It's fine. I didn't destroy the people who were being all cranky.
The three people's hands go far away from the sword. They say, "Oh shit, it's a wizard." They all kind of drop their heads and like kind of slink by you.
Bye. Bye, bitches. Nice playing with you.
One more hand.
Why'd you do that? I could really go for a fight. I don't think our neighbors in the line would appreciate it. Yeah, they might like the entertainment.
I'm ready to go to sleep.
Fair enough.
I assume it's after dark.
We should keep an eye out for them to come back, though.
You should sit, keep watch.
I cast alarm.
Well, as you guys are getting preparing to come up, the moon has risen. A large, waxing crescent moon. And as it comes up, you see some people dressed in black robes with phosphorescent moon sigils on their heads walking up the line. And, they say, "Glory be to Nekhbet, goddess of the moon." And, you see, everybody roll me an insight check.
There's some heresy going down.
What are we rolling?
Insight.
14 plus 5.
21.
19.
19. I am 5 because I am still horribly distracted by the callous use of fire in a possibly vulnerable ecosystem.
Isn't fire part of a good ecosystem?
When it happens naturally.
I'm natural.
Seems pretty natural.
I don't know why. All right. I don't think I'm natural.
What everybody else get?
14.
19.
Really channeling Narasana hard right now. I can't play anyone but Narasana.
Those of you get like 15 or higher, like, you kind of redirect, like, the rest of the crowd, like, most people are kind of like looking, like, intentionally like turning away from these people or like looking away from them. But they notice that you are staring like right at them. And one of them says, so they kind of walk up and approach you guys. And one of them comes up to you, Punchy, says, "Have you heard about the moon goddess?"
No.
She is the goddess of magic and the daughter of the Almighty. She says her power will someday exceed his.
I'll play with laugh. That sounds like a nice thought.
He says, cast aside this oracle. Come with us.
Time to kick
out. You can worship a god that will give you real change. And not just a cryptic answer.
No, we've been waiting in this line for a really long time. I'm going to stay with my friends.
You're all welcome.
What do you guys think?
I mean, it sounds like a great adventure later, but I'm not going to waste my time having stood in this line all day long.
Yeah, I think we should try this option first. We'll consider you if this doesn't work out. Thank you. Good night.
So, tell me more about how we're going to overthrow the patriarchy.
He says, I like the cut of your jib. He says, Nekhbet is the goddess of magic. She is.
What kind of magic?
All magic.
Can she teach me how to make things?
She can. He says, the power of forging magical items is no longer just in the province of those who worship Amun-Toth. He says, a revolution is coming.
Wow. I can guarantee you that's going to end badly for everyone.
Because, oh no, it'll usher in a new era. A more fair era.
What's not fair about your world right now?
Not enough cataclysms.
He says, what is the fairness in having a single god decide everything for you?
I mean, where's the fairness in believing in religion at all to depend on decisions in your life?
Why would two be better than one? Every time I've seen a committee, they just make more problems.
I'm going to bed, y'all. You guys can debate ethics and religion and moral philosophy.
No, but genuinely, what's not good about this world? Tell me. I'm not from this country.
He says, yes, but surely you're of this world.
I'm from a very far away place called Krailson. We don't have the same gods as you do. Tell me, what's not fair about your world?
He says, well, let me pull up a brochure.
Okay. I didn't know whether you were acting coy or just actually trying to do something.
While this is going on, I'm going to teach Noman the dagger game where you stab between your fingers really fast.
You're going to get screwed in this game.
I think I would be interested in that.
Way faster than you are.
We both have a really high dexterity. I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
Not looking to make money off of it. It's just something
well,
to
if
do.
People give you money when you're doing that.
That's true.
Why not?
He says, Amun-Toth is the supreme decider of justice. He says, his sole discretion chooses what happens to people after they die. He is the one that decides if actions are good or evil.
Uh-huh.
So why should he be the one that decides that?
So how would your lady face change it?
Nekhbet believes that problem. There's more than one way to solve a problem. That a problem can't just be solved through brute force, but through intelligence and cunning.
I'm out. Drop like fly. You lost me.
I'm curious. If she's really powerful, why is she not the supreme leader /
Yeah,
whatever.
And why is she trying to poach other gods' followers? Like, if she were so cool, why doesn't she have a 3-day-long line?
Are you playing the ninth game and following this conversation?
Probably.
That's kind of very high.
He says, that's what we're trying to accomplish.
By poaching?
He says, there's only one god, you have to poach from him.
But you're saying that there is another god, so you can't say there's only one god if you're saying there is another one, because there, by definition, can't be only one god.
He says, you really must be from not around here.
Who's Nekhbet's mom?
Nekhbet and Sokhmet were created, he says, they sprung from Amun-Toth.
Who's Sokhmet? Is she the goddess of socks?
She's the goddess of the sun, of strength.
Why isn't she Sunmet, then?
I'm gonna go to people more receptive to our message.
Does she have your hat?
He says, enjoy the evening and know that she smiles down upon you.
Oh, I'm gonna ask if they have any extra, holy symbols.
Yes.
Brochures.
I would love to have one and I will continue to ponder your message.
You should beware the god of Morad.
Who's that?
You'll see.
Does Sokmet have followers? Do they show up in the morning?
All right, so you guys go to bed.
Did I get holy symbol?
You did.
Sorry. That's okay.
In the morning, people with sun regalia start coming down the mountain as the sun rises.
I give them an equal amount of shit.
Trying to encourage you to worship Sokmet, the goddess of strength.
I'm particularly proud of Wyeth and her name Sunmet.
What was the moon's name?
I mean, Nekhmet. Moonmet, so why wouldn't...
N-E-K-H-B-E-T.
Yeah, but it's so... It starts with an S, so it just... Why is it Sokmet instead of Sunmet?
Where's Shoemet?
Hmm? Where's she at? You can't have socks without shoes. I mean, you can, but they don't mean much.
So when you ask us, do you ask the sun priest this?
Yeah, totally.
He says, what's your name?
Why?
Curious.
Altair.
Why isn't it Astair? and he just walks away.
Your god's fake and it's gonna die.
Oh.
He ignores you.
Astair.
That's his. <mystic.
laughs> Religion makes me mad no matter where, what.
So you're telling me that you're never going to play a cleric either.
I hate fake religion, too. Mm-hmm. Like, with the fire of a thousand suns.
So no paladins, no clerics, no bards. This is...
Yeah.
Not in the Caitlyn pantheon of...
No. I would honestly play a bard before I played anything religious. Mm-hmm. I hate it. This is also a very religious arc. So that's why I got my hackles up about it.
No to be healing. Fair, you were in on this character creation where I am a paladin who thinks you're the chosen one by her god.
I know.
All right, so as you guys, as after the sun priest leave, eventually people come by with food carts, essentially, or food, they're carrying them, various breakfast sundries to sell you. All you need to do is eat that or your shell rations. If you want to eat delicious food, it's a copper piece. If you want to eat shell rations, it's free, so.
Oh. Take
like
the food.
Trail rations.
Trail rations because I don't want to start dealing with coppers.
And you find yourselves once again in the drudgery of this exciting D&D session of you waiting in line.
punchy boy.
Some brigands try to rob the line, but it's like further up from you so you don't even get to get in that fight. By the time you get up there, like, it's all taken care of.
Damn it. Did we have a problem getting our spot back in line?
I'm assuming that all of you ran up there. We should probably punch you right up there. Oh, fire. Oh, it's done.
Yeah, but...
I'm not leaving the line.
I assume that Altair was reading and was like, is there something going on? Oh, okay.
People kind of realize where people are. So if you walk away to pee or walk away to grab a bite and come back, like...
It's an honor system. I don't know if you know about it.
People are waiting in line to, like, to ask a question of their god. So they're pretty chill.
I spend the time asking her questions about the book. But going, oh, really? Wow. What else?
I think I'll practice this.
Just to annoy her.
Sword thingy.
I mean, if you're really doing it to annoy me, then I'll ignore you.
You'll think it's Jay.
Yeah, how would you pick up on that? Do you have enough social skill?
I don't know. What do I need to roll for?
Braxis, I engage you in a conversation about what she's been reading, but I get everything just slightly wrong.
Give yourself that inspiration point.
So you're saying faith is a big part of artificing.
Well, one, it's not called artificing. What do you do to your face?
Oh, I don't know. What do you do to your face?
I don't know.
I'm being particularly 13-ish this session.
You're having some 13-year-old feelings about punchy, so.
It's true. It makes sense. It makes sense.
It's just the mindset that you're into it.
Did I learn enough in those, like, 24 hours to start practicing artificing?
You realize that you don't have a magical forge. That's...
And so there's nothing you could do without a magical forge? Okay, never mind then. So I just keep reading.
You gotta learn how to make the fork.
Like, is it a type of comedy, like the art of farcing? It's a farce, but it's art.
Alright, so, Punchy, by the, after about 4 hours of this, you're ready to murder somebody.
Yeah, I've been keeping an eye out to see if there's any, like, hubbub going up front, like, keep an eye out for any other fights, but I don't think I'm seeing any, right?
Do we make friends with our neighbors now? The new neighbors?
Do you? It's a few.
I don't care.
Does it look like we're gonna make it to the top today?
You get to, yes. By the end of the day, you should make it to the top, barring anything.
Okay. Are there any orcs by us?
I was gonna say orcs higher up in the line.
Not by you. But I was gonna say after about 4 hours as you were going, you see an orc coming down the mountain who like had just gotten their fortune or their, you know, oracle visit.
Punch him in the face.
Well, I'll approach him and ask him in orcish. How is the oracle?
I'd like to cue a question.
He says, she speaks. Says her words are a riddle, he says. I'll have to think about this for many, many days. He says, you're not a snake that's eating its own tail, are you?
Don't think so.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so either.
How'd you get through the line? Like, it's really boring.
I wanted to murder some folks, but didn't. That's about it.
Would you be interested in a quick wrestle?
Got eyes in the nose. Yeah, I'd be interested in that.
Okay, everyone, back up.
I'm gonna keep walking. I'm gonna see what's going on up there.
Place your bets. I'm getting even money.
So there's a small crowd of bored people suddenly become very interested in, like, bets. You start taking bets. What do you place your odds at? Want me an insight check on the other orc?
So now he's a full orc, right? Yeah. So is he bigger?
Five.
And he's a man, so he's probably bigger.
You think that Punchy got this? So what do you think your odds at?
I'm gonna sneak into the crowd and be like, 10 on the male orc. 10 gold.
Alicia doesn't know how this works. So, I don't know how to gamble.
Who do you think will win? So you think Punchy will win? So you have the odds favoring Punchy?
Well, I think Frick thinks the full orc will win. Mm. But does she tell people, I don't know.
Well, when you eyed them up, you're like, Punchy clearly has the advantage.
Okay.
Even though the other orc is bigger?
Mm-hmm.
I have only 5 on insight.
Oh. That's why. Okay.
So the question is how much money are you willing, like, so people are starting to, like, give you bets. How much money are you willing to, like, lose?
Up to 5 gold.
Yeah. So people are basically giving you a bunch of copper pieces and silver pieces, and then I'm assuming you're handing them like tickets back with their.
Yeah, Braxis can take notes and do. Yeah, he'll help me out.
Be a bookkeeper
for me. Yeah.
I'm also trying to convince people to put their money on the mail or. To, you know, up our odds and stuff.
Okay. So pretty much, if you put all the money, most of the bets you're trying to get people to place around the mail orc, so if he wins, you guys lose most of your money. But if Punchy wins, you guys make money.
Okay.
That works.
Okay. All right, Punchy.
So, I get in my wrestling stance, and I'm gonna take out his legs.
All right. So before you start, like, he's wearing, like, kind of, like, full plate, like a half, like a plate, plate breast mail sort of thing.
Yeah.
He unclips it. He takes this huge sword off his back. He like takes his like shirt off, and he's just like he's covered in like tribal tattoos, and as you guys get ready to wrestle, he kind of concentrates for a second, and his muscles like start to pop out, and like he gets a little bit bigger. He's like, "Let's do this." All right, so. What we'll do is do a post checks. So roll me a strength check with your proficiency. So
rage, Punchy. Rage.
So this +5.
Mm-hmm.
It would be 13.
All right, so you take his legs out from under him, and he falls down, and you're on top of him. You have the advantage. He was unprepared for the quickness of your attempt.
I would like to just, regardless of how this is going to play out, be hunting for rabbit burrows. Mm-hmm. Not quite sure yet if I want to startle a rabbit into the place to make Punchy loose.
Haven't decided how angry I am at her yet.
Mm-hmm. You also just turned into a rabbit.
Yeah. True. Okay.
Roll me, so you're looking for a rabbit burrow? Or?
Mm-hmm.
Roll me an investigate check.
I've got a 7,
mm-hmm.
but if it's handling, it's a 10.
This actually be survival, I'm sorry, under wisdom.
Okay. Yeah. So it's a 7.
Okay.
Or a 9.
9? Okay. You do not find a burrow yet. Punchy, so you've got the advantage. He's gonna try to like flip you off of him, and like try to pin you, or try to heal. She tried to reverse his fortune, so roll me another strength check.
This is plus proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
15 plus, you said 5.
Mm-hmm.
So 20.
He's unsuccessful, so he tries to push you off of him, you hold him down. So you get your first one count, so if you win 2 more times in a row, you win.
So we get back up and spar again?
If you win?
No, I mean, like, are...
You have to hold him down for three turns in a row.
Yeah.
So.
3 turns in a row or 3 turns total?
Three turns with in a row, so.
So this is 1.
Yeah.
So I have to do 2 more times.
Mm-hmm. Alright.
Without being down to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And you have advantage on this roll now because you do have him in. So he's going to try to roll. Alright, so he's going to try once again. He concentrates and his tattoos actually start glowing a little bit. As he like apparently gets magically amped up, roll me a strength. I'm assuming you're just holding him down. Jesus.
17 plus 5, so 22.
Like you feel him surge of magical energy, almost pushes you off of him. But then just through your sheer punchiness, you just hold him back down. That's 2. You hear 2. The crowd shouts, and there's like a bunch of people like excitedly chanting. This is the most exciting thing they've seen all day. All the bets have stopped, obviously, but people are still just like, "Yeah, go get him, woman. What's your name?" But you know, obviously, does anybody tell them what the name is?
I would shout, Punchy, Punchy.
The crowd starts chanting, Punchy, Punchy.
I go up to Braxis and tell him that there are a lot of people who are not paying attention to their valuables. We might need the money.
I did notice that, but my sleight of hand's not
what?
Great.
What is your alignment?
I'm just saying,
good.
I'm saying that we might need the money. And we are probably overall optimized for good.
I mean, you gotta make money.
Alright, so. Alright, we're telling. So one more and you got him.
Okay.
And his like magical tattoos like surge with energy as he, and like the air actually kind of starts to shimmer around him as he like tries to like focus his ki to push you off of him.
And if I have advantage, I can roll
you,
twice.
You are twice, you pick the highest, yep.
9.
He flips you off of him.
Can I give her an inspiration, or does she only get...
Yeah, I'll let you do it. So, reroll.
Okay.
You also have inspiration, too, don't forget.
Yeah. 18, so 23.
You feel almost like a magical energy start to push you off of him as he's like... And then you're just like, I'm Punchy, and you just slam him back into the ground, and the crowd shouts, 3! And a small cheer goes up, and some people start complaining. It's like, oh, that was really one-sided. That sucked. Blah, yeah. And and the tattoos start to, like, dissipate in there.
Punchy defeats the magic orc! Punchy jumps up and just screams at the sky.
Mm-hmm. Ah! Nice.
Everybody, Punchy! Punchy!
The crowd starts chanting Punchy!
Punchy!
And since Punchy won, you guys actually make 5 gold pieces.
Here's a gold piece for your trouble.
Woo-hoo. It's up to her if she shares it with you. I don't even know if you're condescending.
He helped me.
I get any of this?
You get a gold piece.
Okay.
You were just doing it for funsies, though.
But you made some money. I
did good.
You did good. You defeated a magical orc.
He stands up and he extends an arm.
Good wrestling with you.
Yeah, he says, his name's Danar. He says, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you, I'm Plunchy.
Oh, well, Plunchy, he says, pulled a hell of a punch there,
I was real bored. You usually use magic in your fights, Mr. Glowy Man there?
He says, yeah, I've been trained in the arcane arts. Why do you ask?
Seems like cheating.
He says, no. He says,
magic isn't cheating.
He says, it's
he's here for a wrestling match, not a magic fight.
He says it enhances my ki. He says, it's part of me.
Oh, performance enhancing magic.
Did you just accuse an orc of taking steroids? Because it seems like you did.
He says, look, your friend won. He says, don't be a sore winner.
I'm just asking questions.
Your key, what are you talking about? Is that a euphemism for your penis?
He says, well, when you get done with the oracle, why don't you come back down and find out? So, stay at the Red Lodge.
I'll keep that in mind. No reaction from Shadow Moss?
Shadow Moss is, I think during this, had gone kind of far hunting for a rabbit and then heard people call Punchy, so kind of crept back, but is just watching because she doesn't want Punchy to know that she's seen it.
Mm-hmm. So Dan Arv makes his way back down the hill and things get boring again real quick.
Okay, now that all the attention is off of Punchy and I'm feeling a little jealous and insecure, I am going to attempt to spook a rabbit down the trail.
All right, you find one after you take it enough time to find one. And you spook it down the trail. That's no problem. Roll me an animal handling check. You also speak with animals, too, so.
You could just ask a rabbit to run instead of spooking the poor thing.
That's fair. Okay, I'll speak with the animal and tell it.
It'll still be an animal handling check with advantage.
Okay. It is a 21, but, so I'm going to be like, okay, so I want to play a joke on my friend.
Yeah.
I want you to run by and ride at the orc, and right before you get to her, I'll be a wolf and I'm going to act like I saved you, or I saved her from you, and then I'll give you, like, 3 handfuls of oats.
5 handfuls of oats.
Okay.
Sucker. All right, so the rabbit starts hopping down the hill. Punchy, people are kind of coming up and they kind of pat you on the back and say, good fight, that was really good.
Thanks, I don't know what came over me, but it was just, I'm just that good.
Well, I believe it. You get a couple offers from people like join their adventuring party?
No, I have this group I've been with for a while. I should probably stay with them.
Well, if you ever change your mind, Bobbio.
Well, thanks.
And anyway, as you kind of stand there, you suddenly notice something coming down the hill. It's got big floppy ears.
What the living fuck is that?
And it's heading straight for you.
For the love of God, can you guys please tell me that that's not a rabbit?
Its nose twitches cutely.
That's not a rabbit.
It sure looks like a rabbit.
It's getting bigger and heading straight towards you.
Just look over there.
And as it gets close to you, a wolf leaps out of the road. And so what do you do? Like, do you actually...
So I'm going to leap out, grab the rabbit in my jaws, kind of shake it, making it look vicious, but not actually, like, doing enough to hurt, and then run off, and then I'm going to turn back to human.
Or gnome.
Gnome. Give the bunny the oats, grab some berries to make it look like blood is smeared on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then come walking out and be like, I got it.
Roll. She's a rabbit.
I'll let you roll either a deception or performance, your choice, with advantage.
Well, that was awful. That was a 3. So, that was a 4. Oh, not shit. Much better. Yeah, so 6 total?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I add my proficiency bonus, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, you add that plus whatever your
performance or deception.
Persuasion is. Or deception.
In charisma.
You have either of those skills?
I have...
She doesn't have her thing filled out.
No, it's not totally filled out. Your
sheet isn't filled out at all!
2, and then, yeah, I have the, like, additional things there, and then the 5.
If you have your old sheet, you have it on there.
I might have it
on. Yeah, you need your numbers.
Whatever! 1. So I add 1.
Mm-hmm. So Punchy, you see Shadow Moss come out, like, of the woods, like, Sam's rabbit. With berries smeared all over her face?
Do we recognize Shadow Moss as a wolf?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the one with, like, flowers and twigs and mm-hmm. stuff, and its mane.
Shadow Moss, you can be back out with your immaculate disguise work done.
Hey, Moss Cooch. Did you get hungry for some berries after you picked up that rabbit?
I saved you from that rabbit? Is that seriously the things that I get? That you're making fun of me for eating berries? Really? Like, all this attention has just gone to your head that much? We are supposed to be friends! We're supposed to be best friends! Is this how you treat your best friend?
I'm not really sure why you're upset. I'm just concerned that you didn't kill a rabbit, but you pretended to, and then you smeared some berries all over your face.
Look, you know how I feel about killing things. I got it away from you. Isn't that good enough? Like, why do I have to kill it?
Yeah, but why the theatrics?
It was coming for you.
But was it really?
What, do you think, what, that I made a deal with a bunny or something like that? Is that what you think happened? Do you really think that I would be, I can't even talk to you anymore.
I didn't, but now I do. I just thought it was a crazy rabbit and you were like, get out of here. But now I think you may have struck a deal with him, you ass.
I stopped off. She's ignoring.
Mm-hmm. I'm confused. I didn't know what you were doing. Don't walk away.
Look, I was, the bunny was coming for you. I wanted to get it away from you, and I know you feel more secure if it's dead, but I didn't want to kill it because I don't like killing things, but also, like, I don't know how the oracle's gonna feel about me killing things, so I just set it down, and then I wanted to make it look like it was dead so you wouldn't be scared anymore.
This is way better than your books, admit it. This is something else.
Mm-hmm. This would be a great time for Noman to come walking back into the camp with a rabbit.
I was seriously tempted to say the rabbit was in my dark range or whatnot.
I know something's not quite right here, but I do recognize that my friend is upset. I don't want my friend to be upset. So, let's just say what you're saying is true. We're good. Don't worry, don't be upset. It's fine, you're totally harsh in my buzz right after that really good wrestling match. We're A-okay.
Really good wrestling match.
The bunny is gone. The bunny's gone, right?
The bunny's gone.
Okay,
the
bunny's gone. We're good.
Your friend tried to deceive you, though. This is payback for, like, front row tickets to the frig and Noman thing. I'm right up in this, watching intently.
How do you think she deceived me?
She tried to make you think she killed the rabbit.
Yeah. Why?
Why is that a big deal?
You guys have emotions. I think you should emotion and act some more.
But how?
I love how much Frigg is enjoying.
How did you know the rabbit? Are you friends with rabbits?
Shadow Moss, are you friends with rabbits?
You know very well that I always get rid of the rabbits for you. I never let them come bother you, and I am not friends with rabbits. I just don't know why you hate them, and I don't think they need to die.
That sounds like a rabbit friend to me.
Yeah, well, I also don't know why you would rather hang out with orcs and fight them than hang out with your best friend. So all I'm saying is there's a lot of confusing things happening lately.
No, I don't think anything's confusing. I think I get it. You don't like that I have other friends. I'm gonna have other friends. You're a gnome. I'm an orc.
Oh.
It's just not gonna work.
Whoa.
Well, Annette comes up and nuzzles you.
Why don't you go off with your dog?
I'm gonna sniffle a little into Willamette and walk off into the woods.
Willamette pads with you and kind of turns back and growls a little bit at you.
Should we save your spot in line?
Yeah, there's no response.
Where else is she gonna go?
Well, she's not in line.
So long.
What? You're in line and she's in our party.
But if she doesn't want to come back, we could sell our spot in line.
Oh my god.
I just need to know what she's doing.
Also, Frank, I'm gonna give you an inspiration point for your deliberate shitster.
I already have inspiration.
But you have inspiration also, don't you?
I used mine.
Yeah. I'm gonna give you an inspiration point as well.
This is all just payback for a delightful overacting.
For everything. Alright, so how long do you sulk?
I don't know how many hours are left in the day.
Alright, so you kind of look, so the line's still moving. Do you kind of follow with them like from the bushes or?
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to be like going ahead and waiting for them to catch up to me sort of thing, but not attempting to take people's place in line, just kind of. I'm telling myself I'm scouting when really I'm sulking, but I'm making it so that
scouting is counting.
Oh my god, I love that slow art right
now. That's amazing. Scouting is counting. That's fantastic.
I'm gonna go scout.
I'm just gonna petition that I don't have an inspiration point.
Fine, you can have one too. Does everybody have inspiration now?
Yeah.
Alright, let's go. Alright, so.
Oh, my cute question. Are we gonna have to come up with a question for the Oracle, or should we just, oh fuck, alright.
You have to know what you're going to ask. You mean?
Thank God.
She's
thank God
Oracle.
I know now.
She
rather
should
than
know what we're going to ask.
So as you get to the other front of the line, you're maybe like a couple dozen folks away. A figure emerges from the Oracle's building, which, as you can see, it's almost like deceptively small. Like it looked much bigger from the bottom, but as you get closer, you realize it's like a small one story stone structure, and with the huge sun and moon symbol above the door. And a rabbit person comes walking out.
For the love of Christ.
you don't see him yet. And he kind of walks by you, Shadow Moss, and says, good morning, or good afternoon, evening, whatever it is.
How tall are they?
They're maybe like 4 feet tall.
Creepy.
Male or female? Unknown?
Male. Okay. Wearing a vest, kind of Porky Pig in it.
Nice. Good afternoon, sir. How is the Oracle today?
Fantastic. I think her answer is really going to help me.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask about, if you don't mind me asking?
He says, I found myself at a crossroads in my life. I wasn't sure to stay with the family business, and help my father run his tavern. He says, or if I should go with the love of my life across the country. So she can, while she goes to university.
And you chose love?
Yeah. We'll go with that. He says yes. I'll be moving, leaving the family business.
What is your family business? Oh, you said a tavern, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad owns a tavern.
Where is it?
He says it's over near Tarrowfell. He says, near Mudwop Swap. It's One-Eyed Jack's. Oh, no, Jackrabbit Slims.
Oh, yeah!
Jackrabbit Slims.
You were right by there!
Oh, yeah, we'll stop and have a drink sometime.
I will. You know, I'm kind of besties with Gary, the
The hotter folk? Oh, I know Gary. He's stopped in a few times.
He's so cute with his pocket.
Yeah, I'd like a magical pocket today. Well, anyway, I'll know you said hello. What's your name?
Shadow Moss.
Pleasure to meet you, Shadow Moss. Well, anyway, you have a wonderful day now.
You too. Make sure when you walk by to check out that half-orc down there.
Oh, the one who was in the fight earlier.
Yeah. I think she'd really appreciate it if you told her how impressive it was.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
Shadow Moss has a really sick sense of relationships.
She is basically 17.
Oh, my God.
Maybe you weren't a petty bitch at 17, but I was.
You know what? I did my best to forget everything about my life before 23, so what? I don't remember.
Matt!
All right, so...
Chris, you can vouch for me being petty.
Yeah. I mean, we all had our foibles at 17. Alright, so, Bunchy, you're standing there with the boredom sticking in, and something walking out of your nightmares comes down there. 3 foot tall, walking on two legs, wearing a vest, huge floppy ears.
Can I roll perception for what's about to fucking happen?
Mm-hmm. I don't know why I need to. I mean, it's gonna be obvious that Bunchy freaks the fuck out.
14?
Yeah, no, you see this from a mile away.
So I see this from a mile away. Yeah. I do my absolute best because I'm getting a little frustrated with all the yelling and all the shit that keeps on... This is ridiculous. So I firmly and loudly close my book and I drag Punchy over to distract her with anything but the fucking rabbit coming down the way. And I punch Frigg as I walk by. Distract the fucking person because I don't want another scene. Punchy, come look at this! I found something really cool over here.
Oh, what'd you find? A new card game. I assume I haven't seen the rabbit, so I don't know what the fuck is happening.
As this is happening, you see the rabbit walking down.
Yeah, card game. It's like really cool and I can do card tricks too. Do you want to learn to play a game or do you want to learn a card trick? Cause I mean, like, you're already so cool and good at fighting. Imagine if you could do card tricks too. Like, you wouldn't be the life of the party, you would be the party.
Ooh, don't forget the tin whistle. I do the tin whistle.
So talented! Talented!
Okay, yeah.
What happens if I cast magic weapon on your tin whistle?
I don't know.
Do you wanna try?
Yeah.
I cast magic weapon on her tin whistle.
I so hope it melts.
alright, so it's magically enchanted. Do you try blowing it? A piercing sonic whistle terminates. Everybody takes 3 points of sonic damage.
Yes! Imagine it's worse if you have giant ears.
And the rabbit, yeah, like, puts his hands over his head and starts running away from the sound of his distress.
3 hit points?
3 hit points, yeah.
Oof. Okay.
Do I see the rabbit run away?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what happens if I cast magic weapon on your battle axe. Is there anything around that she can... Ooh, you see that big rock?
Yeah.
I cast magic weapon on your battle axe. See what happens when you hit the rock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you pick up your axe, which feels somehow lighter and stronger. You feel it like bristling with the magic energy.
Please. I think once I enchant
And you
I can only have it on my weapon once.
And you slice through the rock cleanly.
Whoa.
Cool!
That's so cool.
That'll come in handy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just makes it a +1 axe, I think.
But for narrative purposes, it's a lot cooler.
But some stuff can only be hit with magic, so that would...
And the magic will fade off here. So it's not like forever.
Yeah, no, I think less than a minute or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Alright, so you manage to successfully distract. And after another 45 minutes, as the sun's getting low...
Wait, what was that all about? A rabbit person.
Don't
worry about it, it's over now. Just, it's fine, everything's done. We're good.
As the sun is getting low in the sky, you worry that you might have to camp out here another night, suddenly find yourself in the front of the line, and the entrance to the oracle looms in front of you. And then the person ahead of you comes out, and it's your turn to go in.
Cool.
Fuck, now we have to know what our question
is. And so this is where I'm going to take my bathroom break for this session.
Yeah.
I have to pee, and this seems like a good pausing point for people to think of their stuff. So, hitting pause. We're back on.
The
back.
Planning that we would have done the last 2 days while we were in line.
Yes, you guys had plenty of time to talk about your questions
yeah.
as you waited in the line. So, what's your...
Frigg has them all.
Well, you were the one who had questions for him on how we needed to freeze these.
Yeah, I have questions about these questions. So,
okay.
Meta questions.
Yeah,
our current
well, a little bit, but not a lot.
Our current list of questions to ask, assuming we each get one, so we have six questions.
Mm-hmm.
Is where who is the person who made the shard?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we find the person who made the shard? How does the maker unmake the shard? And how do we return to the time we came from?
Is that like five questions or four questions?
It is currently four, okay, but Altair is apparently determined to ask her own damn question and fuck what the rest of the group wants.
She wants to find out if any of that information is already in her
book.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I want to know if I've
but
already got
Altair
access
has made it clear
to
that,
that
she
information.
Has a different question.
No, this artifact does not appear in any of your books either.
But
we're
unmaking things?
It's an artifact, so you realize that even with the knowledge you have, like an artifact... has very, like, they're very hard to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a very specific method to destroying them, and only the creator would know that.
Oh, okay. So that is a, okay. Because I have all these books, and I was like, we don't want to ask questions that we already have answers to. We just have to put, you know, a different sort of effort into mm-hmm. it. That's all I wanted to make sure mm-hmm. of.
Okay. So assuming Astaire is still doing her own thing, we have one more additional question.
Well, I mean, if we have to, but, I mean, it seems like that's everything that we need.
Well, is Punchy doing her own thing? Like,
does Punchy have a question?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you get your questions.
Well, maybe I want my own question. Like, what the fuck does Lilith want with me?
You're gonna ask a god that's not your own question.
Well, I'll take one of those because I don't have a question of my own.
Okay, so Braxis, you want to ask where do we find the person?
Sure.
Okay.
No. I'd like to listen to the answer before I choose to ask any of these questions. It's complete gibberish.
Yeah.
In which case, I would prefer to go with a simpler question.
What if the response? She might be like, look in your heart. And then it's like, we're out. Fuck this.
Fuck this shit.
In that case,
I made the shard? What?
In that case, I would ask a simple yes-no question. Or something like that.
I'm going to say, how can we help unmake the shard?
Okay. That sounds like question five.
Okay.
Ooh. What if you're destined to become Lilith? Since you're the only one aware.
I make myself. That's the best step up from being my own grandma. I'm so sorry. I've forgotten what the question. How can we help to unmake the shard?
Yeah.
Just instead of how do we unmake or how can the shard be unmade? Like, what can we do to assist in the unmaking? Like, what do we need to do in order to assist with this unmaking situation?
Chris, we just keep saying the shard. Do we need to be more specific in what we call it?
No. I'm not gonna punish you for things like that.
Okay.
That's not how I roll.
And is this like a group thing? Like we each ask our question as a group? The room, or each person goes in individually asks their question? Mm.
Yeah.
I'm sure this is questions you'd ask people around, and you get the idea that, no, you can go in as a group.
Okay.
There's no rules against that. It's just each person.
I suspect a lot of families would have gone in as a group.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, Punchy, are you cool asking who made the shard?
Yeah, I guess.
Cool. Thank you. Noman,
mm-hmm.
would you be cool asking how does the maker unmake the shard?
After I hear the first two answers, yes.
Okay. And I will ask how do we return to our own time.
Alright, if I hear gibberish, I'm there now.
Mine was how do we find them? Or where are they?
Where do we find the person?
Okay.
Do we need to ask anything else?
If we get gibberish, you're just going to ask where the nearest street meet is, and then, aren't you?
No, I'm going to ask if we do more good than harm as a meta point with what we're trying to do. Otherwise, I'll probably leave the group. Because what's the point?
Dude, if no one doesn't like us, we can just leave. I don't know what wants.
No, not if we're
in. You and Shadow Moss can go find the baby together. Y'all don't like anybody.
How what?
I'm like punchy. And I'm warming to him, even though I know it was a manipulation of him telling Altair that there's no need to destroy bushes. Like, Sarah knows that that was manipulation, but it's working a little bit on Shadow Moss.
I just wanted to show that we had more magic so that they wouldn't attack us.
Uh-huh. Just trying to save your ass.
I know, that's exactly what he was doing. So, is there anything else we need to know about the shard? Or does that all cover it?
Is it the crystal shard?
I still like the idea of how
I'm trying to somehow make a dark crystal reference.
Oh, I've never seen that before.
Dark crystal's great. Actually, I don't know if you'd like it or not. I love it, but...
I don't know, does it have Muppets in it?
Third question?
It's probably made by Jim.
Oh, yeah, if you don't like Muppets, you'll hate it.
Yeah.
How does the maker unmake the shard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Caitlin hates everything.
It's true. That's
everything but her two cats and Burn Notice and Vin Diesel.
And her friends.
And us.
Sometimes.
And what?
Just Kate Mulgrew, I think, in general.
Kate Mulgrew, just in general. Mm.
That's who made the show. Kate Mulgrew.
Obviously, she'll continue to be a national treasure and help us defeat evil!
Of course. But which Kate Mulgrew are you kidding?
I know, right?
So, you guys ready to go?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Punchy leads the way.
So I'm asking, who made the shard?
Yes.
Okay. So
we should probably get the shard out and hold it
right.
Out.
So you guys all go in together.
I don't know who's carrying the shard.
You are.
You are.
I am. Oh. I mean, yes, it's safe.
Definitely safe.
All right, so you guys walk in.
I didn't lose it gambling. Not at all.
It's a comedy moment right there.
There are two guards who stand aside the door, and, you know, let you in. Both of them are standing there. They have, they've got golden armor, and swords that are blazing with fire.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I smoked.
As you guys walk in, the smell of incense fills your nostrils, and the room itself is hazy. There's sort of a large, kind of dark red curtain, and there's a person who, you get the idea, has seen, you know, hundreds of people today. But he says, "You know the rules. Each of you get one question." Says, do not approach the oracle further than the line. If you take a step up past the line, we will smite you down. There is no warnings. Any steps past that line and you will be immediately executed. Are you aware of the rules?
Are there more rules than this?
That should be sufficient.
Okay. Do I sense evil?
Use your detect evil?
Yes.
You detect a being of both great good and evil.
Like equal?
Yes.
Okay.
True neutral.
Do I sense danger?
No.
So, really quick, this might be a meta question. Can we discuss the answers in the, or is they gonna rush us through it?
You ask this. Well, you can probably ask people online.
Do we have a time limit?
He says, after you get your answers, he says you'll be escorted out to discuss it amongst yourselves. He says we appreciate it if you ask your questions in a timely manner. He says there are many people in line behind you.
They're like the teenage attendants at an amusement park. Keep your hands inside the ride. Keep going.
I think I should go last. In case we need to ask a different question.
You might have to vote Noman for it.
Sorry, what?
Might have to fight Noman to go last.
Oh.
Alright, so as you guys, he parts the curtain and gestures you for you to go in.
Okay.
And as you go inside, you find a large room. There's kind of a stone cobble floor. There's like a padded sort of, kind of bench. that you can kneel on. And beyond it, there's a large line with steps up behind it. There's guards along either side of it, all with flaming swords, all that look very deadly and serious. And standing in front of you is a giant. She is probably 16 feet tall.
Wow.
Her skin is sort of translucent and ethereal. If you look at it close enough, you can kind of see stars inside of it, kind of a blue shimmer. And as you walk in, the kind of smoky incense fills the room up more. And she says, "Weary travelers, please kneel in front of me. You've traveled far, I sense, to come hear your questions answered."
Okay. Bungie, I give you the shard so you can ask the question.
Where do we find the person who made the shard? Do you know who made this shard?
You're right. I'm not saying do you know, because then she can just say yes or no.
I don't have a lot of faith in this thing. We've been standing in line for a long time. I think it's all a big hoopla.
She says, "Yes, I know who made that shard." She says, "It was Neferu, the Hammer of the Gods."
Neferu, the Hammer of the Gods?
She says, "Yes."
You have anything?
She says, a heretical artificer.
You have anything about this person in your books, maybe?
We have to discuss it afterwards.
Roll me, you can roll me, roll me an intelligence check with proficiency.
Everybody?
So, 20.
You're sure that this person's not in your books.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, okay. Weirdly specific.
Pass it to Braxis.
So, where can we find this?
Neferu.
She says, "You can find Neferu in the Tower of Neferu." She says, "It's near the city of Castaveria, west along the Camluvian River."
I think that's the one we passed? The capital city?
Maybe? I don't remember any names.
We can figure it out later. Yeah.
Okay.
Pass it to Noman.
How does the maker unmake the shard?
She says, Neferu must destroy it with her own hand. She says she has not yet forged it into existence, she says, but she will. She says, only she can destroy it.
We should find out what the original purpose of it was.
I wonder if she lives in our time. Because if she's made it in the future and died by the time we get back.
Okay, but wait, what's the last two questions we have to ask?
How can we help unmake the shard, and how do we get back to our own time?
I think we all just...
And then we actually still have your whatever.
Yeah.
You
want.
So do you want me to ask how we can help unmake it?
I'm cool with it.
How can we help unmake the shard?
She says, bring it to Neferu and convince her that it must be unmade.
Okay, so we all need to go to law school and learn rhetoric.
Yeah, because everyone likes listening to lawyers.
How do we return to our own time that we came from?
She pauses for a second. She says, I cannot see where you came from. She says, it is beyond my vision.
Okay, but how do we get there?
She says, I'm afraid I do not know the answer to this question.
We stumped her.
She says, this has never happened before.
Do we win a prize?
Oh, sorry, that's more than one question.
Do we get a refund? Do we get a free question?
Can we ask another question?
She says, I cannot see where you come from. She says, where is it you come from?
Oh, you get to ask us questions.
Just roll with it. If it's conversation, you could tickle.
Time. I'll give you the time and date, because Alicia doesn't know it.
The year?
Yeah.
From 1632, after the cataclysm.
Yeah. I'm going to go specific and give her the date, the month and date.
Okay. The,
It was like the Fifth of Fools. I'm so good.
Does Altair get the impression that it might assist or be terrible to add information about the cataclysm in at this point?
Do you want to roll an insight or?
Yeah.
Roll an insight.
Fuck. Well, this is gonna go poorly. 8.
You have no idea. It's your own, up to your own judgment. She says, this cataclysm. She says, what happens? She says, why can't Amentoth see this?
I think Amentoth's dead, y'all.
Really? Really? That's what she went with? Are you kidding me? People in our time don't know what happened during the cataclysm. We come from a time that's dated from the cataclysm. We don't know when it happened, and we barely knew anything about
the old gods are gone, and we have a new pantheon at that point.
We're giving away.
Just as you are a cleric of one of these new gods, or a paladin of one of these new gods, are you not?
Lilith, she rocks, yo. You should check her out.
She doesn't even exist yet.
She's around.
This troubles me. And as she sits there, a tear rolls down her eye. She says, you have a question.
Shadow Moss starts forward a little bit, remembers the line, is like, I know it's painful when the world you thought you knew is just different. For no reason.
Fret not, your heart will be filled one day.
Do I need to ask more questions about the shard, or are we comfortable with what we've asked?
We didn't plan for you because you were
wanted your own thing.
We've got our own answers now. Do you guys have any other burning questions that I need to ask? Did any of these answers bring up another question?
The only thing I was thinking is, what was the original purpose of the shard?
Or how do we convince Nefaru?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just going to be us. That's on us.
Roll well.
What was the original purpose of the shard?
She says, She reaches a long hand down. All the guards, by the way, kind of straighten up when she reaches her hand down.
I hold it up.
And she kind of magics it up and looks at it and kind of wraps her hand around it and concentrates. And then it kind of floats back down to you. She says, this is the tip of a dagger. She says, one of two that were forged by Nefaru for a singular purpose.
Uh-huh.
She says to kill Amentoth.
Huh.
She says they were forged by Nefaru through Nekbet and Sekhmet.
So we totally need to destroy those moon bitches.
No, you know, I should have asked the other question.
Damn it.
Which is what?
Is it, can the shard be unmade before it's made?
We have
That's
to
what
assume,
I should
otherwise.
Have asked.
Excuse me.
Unless I get a freebie because this is such a fascinating conversation.
Roll charisma.
We're open to any advice you'd like to leave with us as we depart.
Yeah, it'd be really nice if, like, your homeboy didn't get murdered by his daughters. So, like, if you wanna...
Well, we know that's his destiny.
She says, you each of you... brought me terrible, calamitous news. She says, the goddesses will murder their father.
It doesn't have to go down like that.
She says, however, this gives me great closure. She says, I've never been able to see past the point of his death. I did not know why. She says, for that reason, I will give each of you one more question.
Mm.
All the guards, you actually hear some of the guards kind of lean in and murmur towards each other, like,
is there any way that I can become an artificer without studying for 20 years?
60.
Whatever.
She says, artificing is a strange and difficult practice. She says, however, in order to learn it, you will need a magical forge. She, holds her hand out, and a multicolored flame appears in front of it. And a bubble appears around it, and it floats down towards you. She says, when you are ready to begin, she says, throw this into your forge.
Okay.
She says, but make sure it's when you're ready, because once the forge is started, she says, it can never be moved.
I can bring artificing back to the world. Oh God! Thank you!
Now you do want to go back to the time.
I mean, we'll see. I still gotta learn artificing, so I still gotta stay here for 16 years.
She says, and what of you, Frigg?
Interesting, we didn't introduce ourselves.
She's the uncle.
Come back to me.
No.
Okay, I'll ask the question that I was planning to ask anyway. Do we do more good than harm as a group?
That's a good question.
She says, a question we're well qualified to answer. She says, Amentath is the supreme decider of justice and the holder of the scales. She says, of course you have the potential to do more harm than good. She says, and it seems thus far you have, she says.
Oh, shit!
Or no, more good than harm, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna damn, what the fuck are
we? More good
done?
Than harm, she says. However, she says, we do not control your actions, she says. She says, if you wish to continue to do good in this world, you have to do it. She says, the longer you stay together and the more you do, the more powerful you'll become. And the more you'll be able to tip the scales in either direction.
I find that oddly comforting. Good, thank you.
Braxis.
Is there anything that can be done beforehand to stop the children of Amentath from beginning this calamity? Or cataclysm?
She says, I'm afraid not. She says, it is in your past.
So it's destiny. Ooh, we got a new group name. Harbingers of the Cataclysm.
Are we the bystanders of the Cataclysm? You get to see it happen.
No, self-fulfilling prophecy.
We're the bystanders.
That was a cataclysm.
Oh, cataclysm.
Shut him up.
I'm not sure I'm ready to ask my question.
Puncherella.
It's punchy.
Punchy Thunder Pussy.
That's more like it. Well, you see more than what we say, right? Like, so if I ask you a question, I can leave out some key details just because I don't want to share everything
with
people here. So there's this person. I won't say what their name is, but I have some feelings for them, and I want to know if they feel the same way about me.
She leans down and looks at you, eye to eye. She says, I believe she does, but you'll have to ask her.
Way to let things slide there. Mm-hmm. I was using gender-specific pronouns for a reason.
Oops. That oracle just outed somebody that is not LGBT friendly.
Oh, I strive so hard to make my world LGBT friendly.
You need to rip down that rainbow flag outside your door.
No!
I will.
No, the oracle. Chris.
We're hoping that'll keep the Mormons away.
It doesn't.
Apparently it didn't, yeah.
I'm guessing you can't answer the question I really want to know. I want to know what Lilith wants from me.
Unfortunately, it's past my sight.
Okay, well then can you tell me why Noman's such a dick?
She says your friend, she says, was abandoned as a child. She says, and was raised in an environment that promoted inward reflection instead of social interaction. And instead of rebelling against this, he really embraced it.
So he's a thoughtful dick. Maybe he's not the dick. Okay, ass tear. Just saying.
She says,
about your rock.
She says, the question for you is, she says, what have you done to try to get to know him?
She married him.
She says, Shadow Moss, she says, there are others waiting outside, and I grow weary, and I'm ready to rest.
As Punchy pointed out, there are things that can mean more than one thing, or that we don't have to specify. How can I find my baby and make her happy?
She says, oh, that's really two questions, isn't it?
She says, I thought you wouldn't catch that.
She says, I always catch that. She says, it's a very common tactic people employ. She says, for the first question, you'll have to ask Punchy, and for the second question, love her.
Mm-hmm. You knew where my baby was all along!
She says, now go. Go with the blessing of Amentov. She says, know that even though you may not be able to prevent his demise, she says, it warms me to see that humanity survives what is to come.
I mean, some of them?
Sorry we made you sad. Thanks for helping.
I really am going to try all I can to make sure it doesn't happen like that.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Well, with that kind of attitude...
We need to stick to our actual mission as I walk out. Because, you know, she told us to get the fuck out.
Alright. At this point, one of the guards kind of walks over, friendly, and is like, alright, you've had more than your fair share of questions, if you'll...
Does he seem, like, a little bit pissed that we got extra questions?
He does.
Yeah, I figured. It must be hard working for the Oracle and hearing all these people come in and ask all these questions, and you probably wasted yours totally 30 years ago, so...
I want to ask him about his cool sword. Like, where do you get one of those?
He says you want to work... He says you should join the army. Get stationed here.
No, I just want a flaming sword.
What a flaming carriage.
He says perhaps you should contact an artificer.
Yeah, those people.
I'm gonna be an artificer.
I feel like that's just you, like, skipping down the way home. Like,
I'm gonna be an artificer.
Farter.
Dude, you asked about Noman for your question. Mm-hmm. You're like one question that you got as a bonus. You used a Noman. What was that about?
I didn't know what else to ask. Well, I asked my question. She couldn't help me.
I don't know what else to ask.
Mm-hmm. Norman, how do you feel about this?
I don't know.
Can I have the last red apple?
Well, it is comforting to know that everything is not set in stone.
No, but it is.
But it isn't.
Fate is already, like, it's, she said.
It's already been
he's
decided.
Gonna die. Like, it's, there's no way to change that.
We might not be able to change what's going to happen in terms of enormous god death and calamities, but she did say that we have the ability to choose our actions and whether our actions do more harm than good. And I personally think we should go for the good and not the money.
But
those are the same thing.
if we try to stop events that are set in stone, then we're just going to waste our time and not do anything. How many people could we actually save in real life instead of going god chasing? That's going to die soon anyway.
What if giving this shard to the magic person
gives her the idea? What if we're starting the self-fulfilling prophecy?
Can I point out, our goal isn't to stop the cataclysm, it's to stop the blight.
Right?
So maybe if we just convince the lady to make, like, a couple of, like, axes instead of daggers, it doesn't break, and then we don't have the blight.
I think that...
Very pragmatic. I approve. Like, just, you know, reinforce the tip, maybe, so it doesn't break off. But just the tip.
If we took the shard and just, like, threw it somewhere and then worked on getting home...
Then the blight will still be there. Our very presence here has already locked in the fact that the blight is going... That the god is going to die, the swords are going to... Whatever they are going to be forged. We've got to get this shard destroyed to take care of the blight.
But the shard's no longer in the world where we were from. So the blight's fixed, technically.
Only if we get it destroyed before we go back.
What if we get it lost here?
Throw it in a volcano.
Then it'll still be a millennia-old blight. Yeah, then it'll still be in existence.
We just take it somewhere we don't like.
We take it to the place in the future where we know that the people in the future set off the nuclear explosion and bury it there so that the nuclear explosion also buries the blight.
What?
The island that sinks, that Shad blew up.
Do we know about that?
You guys don't know about that.
Yeah, I was gonna say. We don't have that knowledge. We can't use that.
Like, as long as the shard exists, our mission isn't done.
We need to get it destroyed so we can destroy the blight.
So it's kind of like a Back to the Future thing. We gotta, do things until it fades away. So we gotta find Chuck Berry.
Steal the heritage and culture of the African American community.
What the fuck just happened?
In Back to the Future, there's a scene where it's implied that Marty McFly writes Johnny B. Goode instead of Chuck Berry, who's a black guy.
We should not have to explain Back to the Future.
Very boring movies. I think I watched most of the first one.
Really? What about the third one? The third one's great. They go out west and there's horses. And
I think I might have gotten wind that it was a western and said, fuck that shit.
What about the third Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle where they're samurais?
I don't remember that
one. That was a good one.
What?
So anyway, as you guys leave, actually it's interesting. As you guys leave and discussing your questions, as the next person gets to go in, the door's shut. And then the guys are like, the oracle's done for the day. And everyone in the line starts to groan and camp out for the night.
We broke the oracle.
Gag.
A little bit. We made her cry.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't make her cry. It's just what's going to happen.
The circumstances.
I thought you were going to blame me.
I am going to ask one of the guards before we go away, like, have you ever seen her cry?
Nope.
Oh my goodness.
Give her a hug for me, okay?
Are people watching us? Can they hear what she's asking them?
They're not paying any attention.
Good, okay.
Maybe we should send her like a fruit basket. I don't know, what says I'm sorry that your entire life is ruined?
I'm
gonna
be an artificer as I skip down the mountain.
I think it's papaya.
I'm sorry, I destroyed your entire world via papaya.
A little bit of grape.
Okay, so
We need to find someone who can tell us where to find the Tower of Nefaru.
We know.
Yeah.
It's in Castellaveria.
She gave us the whole...
Yeah, everything. We need to find where Castellaveria is.
Because
we don't know... Do we know if that's the main city?
Didn't we walk by? Isn't it one of the coastal cities? She said...
Castellaveria? No, it's along the Camalubian River.
Yeah.
It's west.
Is that the Great River?
Yeah, it's the Great River.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's the greatest river.
It's the best named river.
It's not hard to get a hold of a map, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what we need to do, is basically find someone who can get us better directions to where we need to go.
I would assume that Altair already has a map.
Yes.
How did you get a map already of this new world?
We've been here for days, and she was hanging out with a bunch of people, and she asks a lot of fucking questions.
We had that one orc traveler guy draw a map for us in the dirt, so like you had written down
a rough map of the direct area.
Anyway, there's maps. Actually, there's a good place to find maps, and that is, of course, the transportation station.
Yeah, I mean,
to the transportation station.
Do we walk all the way back down there, or do we find an inn closer to the top of the tower?
Do we still have our magic carpet? Will that bring us somewhere faster?
That was Gary's magic carpet.
As we walk down, can we mock the people whose place we took?
Absolutely you can.
He just really wants to get into a combat right now. Like, he just really needs something to fight.
Oh, that's a great tip for that game. You're such a good card player. Thanks.
I never lose.
That's so weird.
I'm gonna be an artificer.
So you guys are in a bit of discord as you come down the hill. You do successfully taunt the six people. They're about halfway up now. They give you pointedly dirty looks as you walk by.
Shake my money bag.
Roll for initiative.
And you guys make it back down the hill. The transportation station is closed for the evening. Do you guys find lodging?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. There's a few inns. There's a nicer inn, and then there's a more squalid inn. Which one would you prefer to stay at?
How much is the nicer one?
The comfortable inn is 8 silver pieces. The squalid inn is 8 copper pieces.
Or we could camp in the woods. There are woods, right?
Yeah, there's like coniferous trees.
I'll pitch a tent. I don't have money for that shit.
Yeah, let's save a few bucks.
Yeah, I'm cool with camping.
Mm. We've been splurging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so you guys have made camp.
And I have a new coat, so.
Yeah. What do you guys discuss around the camp?
How are we going to convince this person to make axes instead of daggers?
What? We can't change the actual events. We just have to get her to destroy this piece.
Yeah, we'll focus on making
it to start with, which means she can't make daggers.
No, but you can't
She's
change.
Going to make it anyway.
She's gonna make it either way. It's already a set event. That's what the Oracle told us.
No. The cataclysm is a set event. The means to the end is not.
But then you're just gonna have an axe tip that's the center of the blight instead of a dagger tip, and then we have to go through all of this again. We need to get her to
okay,
try and make
so a mace.
Something that won't break is what she's thinking.
Yeah. Oh, no, okay, wait, I really have to ask. Are y'all yanking my chain, or are you being serious right now?
There is something to be said of if the piece of weaponry that destroyed the god is what's causing the blight, then if we change the weaponry and it isn't broken, then we
you
don't
still
have
get
a blight
cataclysm,
issue.
But no blight.
It's a possibility.
So you guys are actually, okay. So,
regardless,
it doesn't matter what kind of weapon is made.
What
she
we have to do is convince her to unmake it. So we have to tell her how bad the blight is and the consequences of her actions, which may or may not keep her
guilt-tripped.
No.
They called her the heretic for a reason. So this person's probably totally.
Or maybe she's just really dedicated to the other two gods. We haven't even met her yet. I think what we need to do is go in and say, hey, you succeed in what you're going to want to do. You succeed in making the weapon that kills whatever the fuck his name is.
Just don't do it with a pointed blade.
No! That doesn't why! Stop!
We're confusing the cataclysm with the blight. We're trying to win the blight, not the cataclysm.
You are talking about trying to prevent it. No, so the cataclysm's gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm not talking about preventing that. I'm talking about preventing the blight. That's the whole reason we're here. We're preventing the blight.
But changing the weapon isn't gonna change that.
Yes, it will if there's no tip.
You have it right there. That is the thing that needs to be destroyed.
Right. Right now, if we don't do anything,
we convince her to change, it will fade out of existence in this timeline because it's not the future.
No, we have learned that that's not how time works.
Time travel doesn't make sense.
No. These are set events. We can't change. Like,
look,
we're not creating alternate futures.
That's not possible.
Yeah, we're basically on the same line and we hopped back. So things are gonna happen. It's gonna be a dagger or a sword.
So the blight is going to be created.
Then why the fuck are we here? We're here to prevent the blight.
Lilith took the shard out of the center, and if we succeed in our mission, then we will land back in time at the exact same time that we left, and the blight will disappear.
Right, we're trying to prevent the blight.
We're never gonna prevent the blight!
The blight's gonna happen anyway, we're just gonna stop it.
We're gonna stop it!
We already stopped it.
That's what I said.
So our point is that we're trying time travel.
So let me just get.
This is a character argument.
I don't know whether it's a character argument or I'm just being yanked about. All
right, so let me just give you a little more explanation of the blight. Things that you would know. So the blight has stopped spreading, but there's still like this dark malevolent energy in the center of the forest that keeps like spawning these like creatures and like preventing anything from growing there and like keeping everything kind of dreary.
Oh, so we didn't destroy the blight. No. We just time traveled.
Yeah. So what Lilith told you when she time traveled you is that you need to find and make the shard and have it unmade. So pretty much have it destroyed.
Okay. But she hasn't made it yet.
It doesn't...
Alright. So pretty much what she's saying is that the only person that can destroy this shard is the person who made it. So you have to find this person and have it destroyed.
Unless we go kill the other gods.
What? No! Stay out and be quiet! You're making it worse!
Yes. I didn't like those moon bitches anyway.
Yeah, they were rude.
Okay, then what if we just go to her and be like, hey, I hear you're good with stuff. We have a problem. Can you fix this? We'll pay you 50 gold coins if you destroy this thing. We don't have to tell her what it is.
That gets us the result, but
she would she's know, not going to be though, that stupid. Because she made it. As an artificer, as soon as she sees it, right? As soon as she sees it, she's gonna know it's her work.
Probably.
Yeah.
In the future. We'll just tell her that this causes a lot of problems.
I think that's a good lead-in, but I don't think it's gonna end up that way.
Okay, but we can try it, and maybe if we offer her enough money, she'll be like...
Sure. I don't know what you're talking about. I have some copper.
It's gonna take us a while. We might get some money.
If we all have just a matter of money, then we can do it.
I wish that were real.
Yeah.
In real life.
I'm worried that us bringing
it is. You just have to go to tombs.
Us bringing the shard to her is what starts this whole business.
Yeah. Like maybe she doesn't recognize it as her own and she destroys it and she's like, oh, that thing would have made a really cool, I think I could make a dagger that looks like
but
that.
The two gods of the sun and the moon are already gunning for Amentov. And haven't we already established that we're very close to the cataclysm? We're so close to the cataclysm, there's no way those knives haven't been forged already.
Well, they haven't been forged yet.
Yeah, she told us that they haven't been forged yet.
Well, I mean, I don't care about any of these
gods. We have our mission. We do our mission.
Our mission. We're not worried about the cataclysm. We aren't worried about the gods.
We just need
money. We need to stop the blight at our point in time. It's still going to happen until we stop it whenever we... walked in.
Doesn't matter if it gives her the idea to make the daggers because we'll have destroyed our shard, which is the source of the blight.
Well, here's something to think about.
Everything
too.
Else doesn't matter.
You don't want to prevent anything or Lilith won't exist.
That right there. If you stop the cataclysm, Lilith never
Guys,
never
I won. Never wanted to stop the cataclysm. Okay. Can we please stop blaming me for wanting to stop the cataclysm?
Why did you make the cataclysm?
Why'd you make the cataclysm up your butt?
Oh! Because
he ate Taco Bell!
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, that tracks.
Gross.
I'm glad we're camping and not disturbing everybody at it.
Uh-huh. You guys are having this argument amongst yourselves. Punchy, what are you doing?
Fair.
I'm thinking about where that Red Lodge is that my friend might be staying at. Maybe we could have another wrestling match, have a drink,
have another wrestling match. Yeah. You know.
Inspect those tattoos of his a little closer.
Yeah, you know, the things.
Maybe get some tips.
Or half orcish.
A tip.
Mm. Yeah.
Just the tip.
Sorry, you didn't
know
that.
So, I'm just gonna head out.
Alright, so as you get up, roll me a perception check.
He's
sleeping through this.
Yeah.
There he was.
Until you woke him up.
Two blue eyes look back at you from the darkness, kind of glowing. Like, they're light caught by your campfire. Animal eyes.
Hey, guys. Something's out there.
And as you say that, you see a few more yellow eyes.
Lots of things are out there.
Do I sense evil?
No. However, you do hear a low growling emanate from the darkness. And you see what looks to be a large... Like if it stood on its hind legs, it'd be taller than any of you. Like that tall, like large, wolf with all white fur and frost is coming out of its mouth.
Ooh, is this a dire wolf?
It is a dire winter wolf.
Yeah.
And padding next to him are three more wolves, all with white fur, but not so much with the arctic breath.
Okay.
And they look hungry. And it looks like they found a big meal.
So
let's roll some initiative.
Shadow Moss isn't going to talk their way out of it.
No.
I'm going to pause it though. I got to pee again. And Nogan, what was your initiative?
Nine, I think.
What do you add to your up in the top center?
Oh, I haven't added. Yeah, 12.
12. Okay. All right.
Are we still all down 3 damage?
Oh, we should have healed from
no, you healed
it
from
was the next day.
Alright, okay, so that's 20.
Today's the day that I did the magic weapon stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's the night time, because we haven't gone to bed yet.
Mm. About what time did that happen?
Are you wondering if you still have that spell back?
I spent 2 of them, so I have no second level spells.
Yeah, you have them.
I was gonna say, we were in line all day, is that a long rest?
It's fine.
You can throw attitude at them.
I mean, that's gonna happen anyway.
Is that more comfortable?
No, but...
Would you like a pillow for your booty?
I'm gonna, fidget no matter what chair you give me.
Okay.
But thank you.
I feel that. That's just how it works.
Frank, what'd you get?
18.
18?
14.
14, Praxis?
21.
Nice. Shadow Moss?
I rolled a 7.
Is that your total?
Oh, 9 is my total. But it's more fun just to be like...
Funchy?
15.
Alright, you guys spring to action.
Some of us.
Yes. These wolves are coming for you. We'll start with you, Braxis.
Alright, well, I'm going to assassinate, which means I get advantage on anything that hasn't gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
Nice!
And automatic critical if it hits.
Alright, so which one are you attacking?
I'm going to go with the dire...
So the winter wolf?
Yeah, with my longbow.
Okay.
Oh!
15.
That hits?
Yes. 7.
So it's a critical, so you roll again, right?
Or do I double the die?
No, you roll twice.
Roll twice.
Okay. So 12.
And you had your sneak attack.
And my sneak attack.
And you roll that twice? Because it's all on the same attack?
Yeah.
Yes, 2d6. So. 4. Wow. So, 20.
Alright, you shoot an arrow and it flies true right into the wolf's shoulder. The little blood starts flowing out of it, just growls and approaches closer. The three wolves, they very quickly, all move up and pounce on you. So could you guys, Noman or Sarah, could you just move those 3d6s? No, not that one. That one stays back.
This?
Yep, move those up.
No, not that one.
This one?
Yep.
This one?
Yeah. They all move up to just to the closest people to you. They can make it. Yep.
And so was this one. Okay.
So who are those folks?
This is me.
Noman.
Mm-hmm. I assume Punchy's up.
Polka Dots is you, right?
That's me.
No, that's
Punchy. That's Punchy.
Punchy. Well, good. You're the...
Alright, so, and could you move three just a little bit over and just it's actually in the square? And then same, put one over one. Yeah. Alright, so they, the wolves, as soon as they realize they've been seen, they run in and leap and spring. Alright, so, Noman, you're getting two attacks.
Okay.
Alright. These wolves have pack tactics, so they, so they all have advantage in their attacks. So 19 to hit.
So 19
is that hits? Okay.
I don't know. Oh, I have,
your AC.
AC is 16, so yeah.
Okay. So, let's see. So, Noman, you take 13 points of piercing damage, and roll me a strength saving throw.
Is that a d20?
Mm-hmm.
One.
It knocks you prone, so you fall over, wolf pounces on you, you have disadvantage in your attacks, he has advantage to attack you, and, you can only crawl unless you stand up.
That's half movement to stand?
Yeah. Then the other one attacks you and hits as well.
So the first one was 13, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, these are all fucked up.
Wouldn't it be easier to keep track of this somewhere else?
This is the maximum.
Yeah, but I mean, you keep erasing and writing, erasing and writing, erasing
That's
and writing.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, yeah, but keeping track of it on your character sheet?
Yeah. It's supposed to look like it's been through the wars.
you take 10 more points.
Oh, I have 1 point.
Okay. What? Motherfuck!
Yeah, 13 and 1. I was like, start of
we are level 3.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Then Punchy, you get attacked.
Okay. And so do you...
AC 19, does that hit you?
Yeah.
Okay. So you take 9 points of damage. And roll me a strength check.
Strength is at d20.
Strength saving throw, yep. And then you add 5.
So 11.
Alright. It knocks you prone as well. So it pounces on you and knocks you.
Can I do, can I go into frenzy mode and get another?
On your turn.
Okay.
Alright. Frigg, you're up.
What's my spellcasting ability modifier?
As a paladin, it's charisma, I believe.
Okay. Okay, so Noman's already down. It's always such a dilemma for me, because I think I'm at... Well, you can heal, too. Okay, because I feel like I'm the only one who can heal, but I'm also supposed to be a warrior type of thing, but you can heal, so...
I think we all have potions, too.
Yeah.
Do you? You're poor as hell.
Yeah, I think I used up my potion for something, so I don't think I have any left. Oh no, I have a potion. I have exactly one potion.
Okay, then I will focus on kicking ass. I guess I'll, where am I? I guess number 3 is the one I can get to clearest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna double hand axe this bitch. Where's my fucking attack bonus? 24.
Hits.
And, okay, and now I have to roll for each hand axe?
Yeah.
Okay. So should I roll damage for that one or roll for both of them?
You can roll for both of them. Okay. We're ordered. Makes sense to you.
Okay, so the second one is 16.
Hits.
Okay. So the first one is a d6 plus 4s. What does that mean?
Oh, it's slashing. The S means slashing.
Okay, I'm sorry. I should know this by now.
No, it's okay.
Okay, so...
We only play once a month.
Okay, so 7.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And another 7.
All right.
Always saving Noman's ass.
Alright. It is bloodied.
Oh yeah, no one should be.
Is this no
yeah.
one?
Yeah.
You should be underground.
Same with Punchy.
Show more punchers.
Punchy, your turn.
Okay. I want to go into frenzy mode.
Alright, you're in frenzy mode.
And I'm gonna get up. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to take the great sword.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna go after the wolf that knocked me down.
Alright.
So, roll.
Mm-hmm.
Or do I, sword is 2d6, is that what I do?
Well, you want your d20 first.
Six.
And then since you're in Berserker Rage mode, I think you add 2 to the attack.
Mm-hmm.
Plus your normal 5.
So 7 plus 5 is 12. Yeah?
Yep.
I rolled a 6.
Yeah, but you said, oh, sorry. So 6
mm-hmm.
plus 2?
Mm-hmm. Plus 5.
Plus 5. 6, 7, 8, plus 5, 13.
That hits.
Okay. And then I get another 1 because I'm in frenzy mode?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So.
So go to roll your damage for this one first.
So.
The 2d6 plus 5.
Okay, 2d6. 6,
mm-hmm.
2, 8,
13,
right?
Mm-hmm. So, 13 points. Alright. On number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is also bloodied.
And I get another attack?
Yeah.
Okay. So, d20 again?
Mm-hmm.
10 plus 2,
mm-hmm.
plus 5, so 17.
That'll hit.
And then the 2D, right?
Yep.
4, 6, 9.
Right, and then you get an additional plus 2 because you're raging. So.
Yeah, 11.
11. All right, that wolf is barely hanging on. Altair.
I got very distracted by how disorganized these are, but I am going to cast Color Spray.
Okay.
A dazzling array of flashing colored light springs from my hand. I'm going to move up so I don't get anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
How far is the dire wolf from me? More than 15 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I make it? Where am I right now? I don't know who I am anymore.
Are you that guy?
No, I'm not.
Are you green. Purple shield?
I'm purple shield. Am I the...
Green grass.
No, I'm green grass, I thought.
Then
it oh, that, the that short one. Yeah, that one's me.
Okay.
No, there's no way I can get the dire wolf.
Do you want to go to the side there?
No, I don't want to engage. Okay. Move me so that I'm just, so that I can look between everybody and get those two. Are those two there?
1 and 3.
Are they almost dead? What's up?
Number
3
is bloody, number 1 is fresh.
So I will up there so that it's a 15-foot cone and I just get those two.
Mm-hmm.
And so I roll 6d10.
Mm-hmm.
I've never used this spell before. D10. And this is the hit point maximum that it starts from. So...
Those are d12s.
What?
Those are d12s. Oh.
Sucks. 14, 26, 31. So 31 hit points starting from the lowest. So how many hit points does that one have left?
Number 1?
No, number 3.
Number 3 has 13 left.
So then 13 minus 31.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
18.
So then does the next one have 18 or less hit points?
No, it has more than 18.
Starting with the creature that has the lowest hit points, each creature affected by this spell is blinded until the spell ends.
Okay. So direwolf number 3 is blinded.
Oh, so isn't it dead?
Kind of useless.
How many points of damage did it do?
It didn't do any damage.
Oh, okay.
Just blinded it.
Yeah, that was completely useless. Sorry, I wasted my turn, guys.
Blinding is still useful.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
definitely
gives
it disadvantage.
Well, now you can focus on the other one. Hmm. Noman?
Okay, so...
So as you lay there, like a huge spray of color shoots above you, and you see the wolf, one of the wolves that...
Wait, how is it?
No,
didn't he have the first?
No, he got attacked.
Oh, he got attacked.
You
that
see
was
a
what was
huge
left.
Spray of color over you, and then one of the wolves is like clawing at its eyes, and there's like just like colored like spray paint almost essentially over the eyes.
Do I have to stand up to be... I do have to stand up to be able to... Do any damage, right?
No, you can attack. You'll just be at disadvantage for your attacks. Okay. So you roll twice and hit the lowest.
Do I have to spend something to stand up?
It's half your movement, but I think you also, as a monk, can spend a key point to stand up.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, do you need to move a lot?
No, no.
I don't think you need to waste a key point to stand up, because you're not going to be running very far.
Yeah, that's they're within true. Range of you, so you could easily just stand up and then attack.
I'd use your key point for something more destructive.
Okay, I'll try and... Use the light crossbow, I think.
Well, you're in melee range with them. You can use your...
Yeah,
I can also use
him.
My short sword, right?
Yeah.
I'll probably do that. But first, do I need to use, like, a turn to use the potion? Or?
Oh, yeah, you have to use your action to use the potion, yeah.
I'm at one, so maybe that makes sense. Okay, I'll use my turn to use the potion.
Okay.
Or you could attack and I could heal you
on my turn. Because if they have a reaction, they'll kill
you. That's fair.
Mm.
Take your potion then.
Yeah, I think I'll do that for now. What do I get back?
2d4 plus 2?
2d4 plus 2, where am I? That's 1. And another 4.
So 7?
5 total? Plus 2, yeah, 7. So that would be 8 in total. Ooh, that's enough for one attack maybe.
Let me double check.
Alright.
Yeah, 2d4 plus 2.
Okay.
Okay. So you get 8 back, you said?
Yeah. Back to 8.
Alright, Shadow Moss.
Alrighty. I assume that I see that Noman is in rough shape.
Oh yeah.
So I cast Healing Word.
Mm-hmm.
And it is 1d4 plus my spellcasting ability modifier. Mm-hmm.
So your wisdom.
Which is 3. So 1d4 plus 3.
And you roll it 4.
No.
6 total points to you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
What?
That's how you're supposed to.
No, no, no. He couldn't find his pencil, so I'm laughing at him.
All right. The Winter Wolf.
Who's such a pretty wolf? Yes, he is. Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
Who's about to become a pelt?
I think me.
Who's a good boy?
Unleashes a terrific cone of cold air.
Nice. But I have a new coat.
hitting yeah, all okay. four of you. So that's Noman, Altair, Frigg, and Braxis. I need each of you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
Is that a d20?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. What's your dex? 12 plus my dexterity of saving throws is 5, so that's...
There's...
It's a dexterity saving throw, right?
Bonus? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's for the saving throw under dexterity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's 12 plus 5, 17.
Alright, so 17.
14.
18.
21.
You all make it! Oh, great news!
How do we dodge cold?
Well, like you dodge, you like duck under it, or...
You brace yourself.
You put your shield up. How do you dodge cold? What do you do?
Warm soup.
That's like an after cold thing. Maybe you just like
duck up into your hood or something.
All right, so you each take 13 points of damage, which is half the damage that you would have taken.
Oh, back to one.
All right.
Oh, wow.
So that would have killed me.
Yeah, without potions and whatnot.
Well, I mean, it would have rendered me unconscious. Mm-hmm.
All right. Puts up Braxis.
All right.
Save us, Braxis.
You're our only hope.
I'm debating who to attack. I will go for the big one. So 18 to hit.
That hits. You don't get your sneak attack on this one.
Because, yeah, he sees you.
Because, yeah, you...
But Frigg is right next to him.
Oh.
Isn't... well...
Yeah, no, Frigg would
that
be
might
right.
be 10 feet.
No, Frigg, he, for that cone to have worked the way it worked, Frigg would have to be right next to him. So, we just give him just a little bit.
So, 14 damage.
All right.
I've done a lot of damage to that wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've done 34 points.
Nice.
What's up? The wolfies?
The baggies. Mm.
Alright, so, number three is blind. It's going to attempt to attack, Frigg. And its disadvantage for being blind is offset by its advantage for being near its friend. But don't think that's going to hit you. AC 13?
AC 15.
All right, so he snaps at you, but he can't really see you, so you're able to easily kind of dip out of the way. Number one is going to attack Noman. AC 13?
16.
All right, it misses. And then number two is going to attack Punchy. AC 21, I believe, hits you. So, you need to make a strength save.
Okay. Oh!
So strength would be 5 plus...
5, and another 2 because you're raging. So.
Okay, so 12.
12. 12 misses, you're knocked back over, and you take 8 points of damage. Frigg, you're up.
Oh, hell.
Chris, I forgot to tell you at the beginning of this fight, I had 10 temporary hit points for my abjuration ward.
Okay.
That I cast every morning, so I'm actually 20 hit points.
Cool.
Runt. Okay. Don't like the big one. And that's the same as me handling it. So if my speed is 25, how much are these squares?
5 each.
Okay. Am I able to get around 2 if I'm here?
No, they're gonna get, attack of opportunity.
You can get there, but yeah, you will be attacked by
each of them as you walk by.
Since you're next to him, you should beat on that big one, because once he's gone, he'll lose control of the other ones, right?
Possibly. But either way, the other three are not nearly as much of a threat.
Yeah. Okay. If that big one gets enough time to recharge his breath weapon, we're fucked.
Natural 20.
Nice!
Critical hit. All right.
Good thing you spent that on the big guy.
But that's it with one... hand axe.
Yep, so you double your damage, so you roll you roll the damage dice twice.
So 4, 6, plus another 4 is 10.
Nice. It's bloodied.
Okay. Nice. And then I throw my other hand.
Mm-hmm.
17.
Hits.
5.
Alright. Punchy.
So nobody's dead yet. I guess 2 is pretty bloodied, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 is on death's door.
And 3 is blind?
Yes.
But 1 is fresh, right?
1 is fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take...
We haven't made it around yet?
No. 6 people. That's it.
I'm going to take my hand axe, mm-hmm. and I'm going to attack number one.
Number one?
Yeah. Five plus five, ten, plus, what is it, two?
Yeah.
12.
You miss.
Damn.
So, you swing it, and it kind of swoops out of the way. Okay. And then you get a second attack, right?
Plus 5.
Oh, that's a critical hit.
Two,
right? Yeah. So roll your... So which one are you using?
I think I said hand axe.
You want to use your greatsword or...
Maybe roll? I'll use the greatsword.
Whichever one you want. It's just the greatsword does twice as much. Yeah.
Let's do greatsword.
Alright. So roll that 4 times.
16.
Yep, and then plus your 5.
21.
21 points. You cleave into it, and it's still alive, but barely. Like, it takes a big chunk out of it. It kind of whimpers.
Which one was that?
The big one.
One.
Oh. Okay.
Alter?
So all three of the regular size wolves are hurting.
Yeah, and the dire wolf is bloodied too, right?
Yep.
What you did to the bush.
I'm thinking about it. Would it use my action to ask if dire wolves are immune to fire?
Or winter wolves?
Whatever, yeah.
Who are you asking?
My knowledge.
Mm-hmm. No.
No,
you can go and roll me a nature check.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you saw it really ice, like...
No, it doesn't fucking
odds
matter.
Odds are.
All right.
Well, if that either means it's vulnerable or immune to fire.
Yeah. And most likely immune. I'm gonna go on that assumption. I'm gonna use... Oh wait, you can't make a magic weapon more magic, can you?
No.
Okay. Alright, well then I'm going to... Fuck. Sorry guys.
Don't you have like a magic missile or something?
I do. I think magic missile's a shitty spell.
It's great. Strikes unerringly.
Yeah, it's 1d4 times 3. Which is 3 points, knowing how I roll.
But it could be 12
points. It should be. I am going to cast...
Baby.
Chromatic Orb.
Mm-hmm.
Acid.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do a fucking thing.
What'd you get?
That's a 9.
9.
Don't you have inspiration?
It's almost dead. Plus 4, so 13 to hit.
That hits.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. You're not 15th level anymore.
I mean, I don't know what that means anymore. So that's 3d8. There they are. Acid damage. 20. Yeah, 20 points of damage. All right.
That takes away most of its remaining hit points. It's almost dead.
Cool.
You can see its skull through its melting face.
Ew.
You just shot it with acid.
You had to describe it.
Noman?
Okay, so 3 is...
All the wolves are pretty hurt. And 3 is blind.
Okay, I think it'll go after 3 then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you get advantage on the set roll, so you get to roll twice and take the better.
Okay, I got 8 and 4. Do I add anything to it?
Yeah, your attack. It's under there, the bottom middle.
But that's it. If I choose one of those, right? So that would be...
Your sword, I'm assuming you take?
Sure, short sword, yeah. 8 plus 5, 13.
That hits?
Oh, cool. Okay. Do I say 1d6 plus 3?
Mm-hmm.
6 plus 3.
Alright, still up.
Alright,
You can punch it.
I can punch it, right? Yeah. And I have... If I spend a... Key point, apparently, after my action...
You can do a flurry of blows.
Yeah, I can do a flurry of blows.
Two more punches, yeah.
So I can do this one and two more afterwards.
Yep, and you can choose...
Which of the ones to hit.
Yeah, and you choose. Yeah, you choose after you do your action. So if it kills it, and you don't want to. You don't have to.
Perfect. So I'll do the unarmed one first.
Yep. So roll your attack.
All right. Come on. 8
plus
plus 5, 13.
That hits.
Cool. So that's a unarmed one is 1d4 plus 3. Okay. 2 plus 3.
5?
Yeah.
It's dead.
Nice. Perfect.
You punch a wolf to death.
And I can do
right.
2 unarmed strikes.
Yep.
If I use my key point, right?
Yep. And
are you within range?
He's within range of number 1.
Nice. Yeah.
And he can move between the attacks too. So.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Right. I'll do that then.
Okay.
I'll use up one of the key points.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'll roll for attack, I guess. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
7 plus 5, 12.
That misses. And you still get one more attack with your flurry blows.
Yes, it's okay.
Get it!
9.
Oh, never, oh yeah, never mind. Yeah. 14, that
14, way. Yeah, okay. Is it 6?
I think it's a 6.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. So it's 11, so I missed.
That misses. Alright.
Can I use multiple key points?
No, just one. You can just that one's
pretty good.
For now.
Okay. Also, you probably shouldn't erase your max.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
There's a used column next to it. Shodamos.
Yes, sir.
It's your turn.
Alrighty.
All the wolves are looking really hurt. No one is looking on death's door.
Well, I figured I'd have to be just healing people in this.
You don't have to. You can do whatever you'd like.
Just be like,
what are punching
at
points?
Punching, I think, is still good, right?
Punching at like 20 or 30.
Yeah. So I am going to do healing word,
mm-hmm.
and it is 1d4 plus 3. 7 points.
7 points to Noman.
Marco. Thank you again. That's 8.
Battle. Oh, thank you. Thank you again.
I punched the wolf to death.
Appreciate it.
He's very kind.
So I feel like there's a monk bow every time she heals you. It's like, wham, wham, wham. Wham, wham, wham. I think that's how it works. I mean, obviously.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Pow, 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 pow. Pow, pow, pow.
unfortunately, the Winter Wolf's breath weapon recharged, so I need Frigg, Noman, Braxis, and Altair. To make me dexterity saving throws.
Oh, yeah!
16.
19!
Success.
Oh, yeah.
19, success.
16.
8, success. 8 plus 5, 13.
Success. You all succeed.
Which means you only take half, which means at least Noman's probably unconscious.
Yeah, I'm probably dead.
Not dead, just unconscious.
You have to fail death saves.
You each take 10 points.
Okay, I'm at 8, so I'm done.
You're unconscious.
Noman's unconscious.
You said 10. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
So who's next?
After Noman?
After the Winter Wolf. And then it's going to... It is going to... Stay where it is. It doesn't want to provoke.
Okay.
It's going to be Braxis' turn.
Sometimes you do the on-deck thing. That really helps me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Direwolves are on deck.
For after Braxis.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Then Frigg, the punching.
I like plus that a lot.
So,
mm-hmm.
19 to hit. Oh,
it hits.
13 damage.
Alright, the werewolf crumples over dead.
Yes.
Nice. Mm.
I did that as a, like a, I dived over Frigg and shot it with the arrow in the air.
Because
it's cool.
Wolves and Frigg and Punchy, the wolf one is going to step over, just stand on top of Noman's corpse. and attack
Hardcore.
Braxis, since Braxis hurt its leader.
I really thought they'd stop if their leader was dead. Sorry guys.
They're real hungry. Braxis, AC 17.
16.
So you get hit. You take 8 points of damage.
Unconscious.
Alright.
Breath weapon was rough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Direwolf 2 still up. Okay, did Direwolf 3 die?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can I have its
Well, it's corpse.
It's corpse. And then the Winterworld corpse. So I'll lose those. Alright,
what's that?
What was that?
Somebody's electronical thing?
Yeah, it's somebody at the door, so whatever.
Yeah, they may have
somebody's phone.
Oh, it may have been your laptop review.
No,
yeah.
It came from over there.
Yeah.
Huh? I thought it came from over there.
I thought it came from over there.
I thought
yeah. It sounded button. Like over there to me.
Yeah.
I'll go check.
I was going to say, it shouldn't be, because usually there's a horrible
there's a very
racket.
Big noise. That tells me somebody's dying. Beep, beep, beep.
Punchy, you're being attacked again.
Okay.
AC 11, I believe, misses.
Uh-huh.
Where?
Figure up.
I guess I'm gonna lay hands on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. Myself.
Which is my level times 5, which is 15.
Alright, so you held back 15.
Nice.
Go me. Alright, puts up Punchy.
Wait, sorry, how many? Oh, I have 3, okay.
So, 2 is pretty much, like, he's just out. Like, does he have the ability to still attack?
Yeah.
1 and 2, yeah, they both can still attack.
But 1 is the strongest.
No, they're both pretty close to dead.
Okay. So I'm going to...
Hit 1 with the other.
Please fucking do that! I'll pop the 1 off of no man.
You just pick him up by his leg and go...
Yep.
Okay. Roll off. Okay, so let's roll attack versus 1.
5. Do I have?
I need advantage on this roll. So
you can have my inspiration if you.
Yeah. Want. Right. I'll sacrifice my inspiration for this beautiful fucking
5
plan.
5 plus 7. You'd need that'd be 12. That wouldn't hit. So that sounds like somebody's willing to sacrifice their inspiration for you to do this.
Yes. So I need to roll again.
Roll again.
I sacrificed my inspiration.
14.
That hits.
Yeah.
All right, so you grab the pooch.
Mm-hmm.
roll me a strength check.
Strength is d20.
Mm-hmm. Plus 5.
Yeah.
So 13.
Mm-hmm.
It got. Where is it? Stats at. It got 7 total. So
nice.
you pick it up off the ground and wing it over. Now roll me an attack against the other wolf.
17.
That hits.
Yeah.
All right.
And then
I'd say we'll call it roll me 2d6.
2d6.
And add your strength.
Attack with the wolf.
what are the attack stats for the wolf? How does it attack? No,
10.
As a bludgeoning 10. Device.
How do you want to, I'd ask you how you want to do this, but we know how you're going to do it. the wolf steps on top of Noman's unconscious body and snaps at Braxis. Braxis goes down, blood pouring out of a wound in his side. Just as the wolf goes in to like tear Braxis's throat out, it suddenly finds itself defying the laws of gravity as it yells a yipe as a huge, meaty paw reaches down and grabs it and whips it up in the air in a perfect arc, swinging it back down. The last thing it sees is its face hurtling towards the face of its comrade, and then everything goes dark for both the wolves as they collide with a sickening crunch and thump.
Punchy! Fucking delightful.
I love the over-the-top way you murder things.
Punchy. I know, right?
And you stand there, blood like animal blood all over you. You're some of your blood mixed in there. The steam of the like sweat and the fights coming off of you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well. I don't think I'm going to be going out tonight.
All right. Well, I guess since these dudes are done and I still have spell slots, I will heal the unconscious folks.
All right.
And we're going to long rest.
You're going to get a long rest. So everyone just, you can put yourself back at full.
I don't have any skills for this, but can I try to skin these wolves? Because I'm sure their pelts are worth something.
Oh, absolutely.
That was what mine... I was going to ask that question because I want a dire wolf
Wait,
pelt.
Is that nature or animal handling?
It's survival, actually.
Survival.
Which I don't have anything, and
I mean, I don't have anything, but I'll roll for it.
Anybody here have survival under wisdom?
I have a pretty decent wisdom.
I have wisdom of 3.
Yeah, but are you going to be okay
with this? Oh, Punchy. Punchy actually knows how to skin wolves.
Yeah, all right.
Makes sense.
Nice. Sweet.
So Punchy walks you guys through how to, like, skin the wolves, all four, and you get... So you get three regular wolf pelts and one winter wolf pelt.
I'm more okay with killing magical creatures because I think of them as unnatural.
The winter wolf is actually a monstrosity, so yes.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. So,
so I can have this that. Pelt?
Sure.
You sure you don't want it as a trophy?
No.
You did swing one into
I want to keep fire. Some of it. I want to keep two of its canines. Mm.
So, tomorrow I will find a tannery in town and tan our new pelt.
I wonder if it's called so or something as a trophy behind the bar.
No. Not after we've skinned it,
That feels like the most macho thing imaginable, trading a wolf skull for a shot of whiskey.
Alright, so you guys sit around your fire discussing...
I mean, that's a good deal, too. A wolf skull's
cool.
Like 80
How
bucks.
Fucking cool that was. And
belly's full of roast wolf.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool. Do not eat wolf. No, no.
Kind of stringy.
Carnivores taste horrible.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of chat in the evening about your future plans and how awesome that was. And and as night falls, so too will our session wrap up for the day.
So do none of us like ask questions about why there are dire wolves this close to a large settlement of humans?
They were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, does a winter wolf get sent, or it has its own agency, right?
Yeah.
Monstrosities are sentient.
Mm-hmm.
It's not winter, right?
But it's still a winter.
It's cold.
Wolf.
It's cold up here in the mountain.
Okay.
So.
Yeah,
I guess I'm also thinking in modern terms, like a city now is not going to have wolves, but it's an encampment of like 1,000, so it's not that, yeah.
Well, yeah, and like, I mean, there's like oftentimes loose travelers that try to make it to the mountain without going through the nice rail system, and
then the wolvies eat.
The wolvies have a snack. So, everybody gets 300 experience points for role-playing and killing some wolves.
Getting closer.
Close to 300?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, wasn't it
19? 22?
Yeah, exactly.
51?
We're
at...
There
plus
9.
No, I equalized everybody.
22.50. I was at 19.51.
Yeah, plus 300.
So
22.51.
Yeah.
Jason let us astray. He doesn't math. He's there for the art, not for the numbers.
And the good arrows.
And the pretty drawings.
Speaking of which, we didn't get a drawing this session. That's weird.
Can you draw?
Oh, I know, right?
Can you draw Punchy hitting